This program deals with themes of an adult nature and is intended for a mature audience.
Apparition I see before me? Or could it be my hero? Oh my God, you are coming with us!
Whoa, yes, yes, I'll be your hero! I will be the savior of the internet! Yes, I will make the internet fun without the use of porn! Yeah, what a happy world that would be! If we eliminated porn.
Oh my God, Jay, what are you talking about? Getting rid of porn? Never. We can never get rid of porn.
You're right. as much as I've tried. As much as I've tried. All right, let's just calm down. And yes, it is I, the guy in charge of all the madness. That's right.
You aren't exactly the sort of a person you pretend to be, are you?
No, not at all. I have everybody fooled. I'm just a host. A lonely little host of a tiny 3-watt radio show. Oh.
Everything you touch turns to suck. It's official.
Hey, but I'm turning it around. We've had some great fun the last couple of weeks. Larry G. Jones. Yeah! Give it up for that guy and all of his voices. I can't do it. I couldn't do Bill Cosby and talk about the pudding. I can't do that. That's the shittiest Bill Cosby you will ever hear. Let's give it up for Rich Natoli, who has been here, and Bobby Slayton, and, what else? What else? It's huge, people! So not everything I touch turns to suck. Not everything. Just a vacuum. I think the pills have been administered. Hello!
Hello,
everybody! And welcome to another episode of the Rockin' Comedy Show, where I'll ask the question... Do you think when same-sex marriages become legal, that lesbians will run to the altar lickety-split? Well, the gay men will just probably dick around.
That is the weirdest thing you have ever said.
Yeah, it was pretty weak, but the joke was there. Mad Mike's going to be here, to do a how-to. And if you want to contact us, I don't know what he's doing in the corner. He's distracting. Mad Mike, he'll be here along with his how-tos. And if you want to contact us, there is a number of ways that you can do it. You can phone us, 702-979-9606. We do take those calls on Sunday. For those that don't know, we primarily record the show Sunday nights. But we take the calls from 10 p.m. to 11 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So if you want to call, that's when you want to do it. But write down the number. It's also on the website, 979-9606, 702-979-9606. You can email me. We've got our own email addresses. You can also contact us on MySpace. You can Twitter if you want. Yeah, we'd love to hear from you.
Okay, that's it. I am writing a letter.
That's good. And if you want to email me, you can. It's crazyj@comic.com. Again, that's crazyj@comic.com. If you want to send Mad Mike an email, it's ihurtmyspleen@yahoo.com. ihurtmyspleen@yahoo.com. You can also go to MySpace. It's myspace.com/crazyj13. I've been doing some work on that MySpace page, updating it, put some new videos in there, that sort of stuff. Speaking of new videos, Dino Mike, Dorkcore, nice job on that. It's posted on the MySpace page. It's posted on the website. I'm in it for like 3 seconds, and it's the best part of the video. I swear to God, some of the best acting you will ever see. So you got to check out the video for Dorkcore. Also on this episode, we are going to take a few calls because we had some come in. We've got some requests to get to. We're going to be playing some outrageous comedy because you love it so much. And we're going to do our best to keep you rocking. We've also got some 911 calls.
Call 911!
For some of you out there. Also some celebrity prank phone calls. It's been a while since we did the celebrity 911 calls. Celebrity 911 calls. The celebrity prank calls. Last time we did it, it was with Judge Judy. So we're going to have those for you. Plus, a ticket giveaway to see Rich Natoli's new show at the Tropicana. Yeah.
Doing a happy dance? Doing a happy dance?
Also on the show today...
Bam! Bam!
That's right. Mad Mike is making his way here. But Jay White will be stopping by. Yeah, I'm pretty... pretty excited about that, if you know what I mean.
Jay White, my bitch.
He's not your bitch. He's not. He's nobody's bitch. Jay White performs at the Riviera Hotel here in Las Vegas as Neil Diamond. So we're going to have a lot of fun with him. And if you want to check some email...
Do you mind? I want to check my email.
You can. If you want to check some email, go ahead. Check your email, look at some porn, whatever you got to do while you listen to the show. It's fine. Don't let me get in your way. Go ahead, check it. I'll wait. We have time. Log on. Maybe your Gmail. Maybe you have Yahoo. Maybe mail.com. Does anybody use AOL? I'm not even sure. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, yeah, you can check your email. You can do whatever you want. But he's crazy. He's out of control. And he's got a Facebook like myself. If you want to Twitter with me, you can. It's CrazyJ27 if you're going through the Twitter account. And joining me in the studio, my friends, it's my good friend, Mr. Mad Mike.
Look at his body. Thin. Wasted away by the dissipation and debauchery of a life of unspeakable orgies and depravity.
I'm always amazed at how this show's going to start.
Hello, Jay.
Oh, my God.
Mike could not make it today. I am Robo Mike from Mexico.
That'll explain the oranges.
See, I hope you like. That will be 25 cents. I will take Klondike Bar.
What's up, Mike?
Oil is my
blood.
Would you? Okay. Sorry about that.
Last week you're talking about butt darts, and now this.
Yeah, I still think that's a pretty good idea.
The butt darts?
Yeah. It's pretty. That's pretty fancy.
Of course you would.
Yeah. Now you got to see Julio, my Hispanic robot friend. All right, Julio. I'll see you later.
Goodbye, Mike.
All right, see you, buddy. All
right. It is the Rockin' Comedy Show. Mad Mike is here, I think.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
You know that they give us free medication before you come in?
I hope so. Well, you have to pay for it, you're going to rip off.
You should start taking it.
Yeah, I'll take it. Then I'll walk outside and be like, $5! I can use a little extra cash. It's hard right now.
It is hard out there right now.
It is.
What are you going to do?
Tough love. Outside of the MC.
Well, pretty much everywhere, not just outside the MC.
I was talking to a lady, she works in the Players Club. She made $300 today.
Yeah?
Doing the high limit. I made $5. Okay? What's wrong?
$5.
$5 foot long? Yeah, I made $5, exactly. Which, and at the Monte Carlo, where we have a subway, isn't even a $5 footlong. I couldn't even buy a $5 footlong with my $5 because it's $9.67 fucking cents for a goddamn footlong at the Monte Carlo. What's up with that? How are the commercials gonna say one thing and it's $9.67 fucking cents at the Las Vegas Strip inside the Monte Carlo? What's so fucking different or special about that? The meatballs are the same, people!
Because they're franchised and that's why it says participating. Subways.
It makes me want to vomit.
Well, you know what makes it cheaper?
In my underwear.
You know what makes it cheaper?
What?
Don't put pickles on it.
I don't. Dude, I don't. I get the bare fucking essentials. I get the bare essentials. And this is what they do. They're like, do you want anything else? Why do you say that to me? I'm just spending $9 on a $5 sandwich. Yes, I want cookies. You know? God. It's ridiculous.
Is he alright?
Yeah. It bothers me, dude. I went to Subway today. That's why it's, like, fresh on my mind. Fresh. See? Fresh. Eat fresh. Subway, right? It all comes back to Subway. Jesus! Place just... It aggravates me today. It aggravates me. And this race? Carl Edwards? Subway? It's everywhere today. I need to focus.
You need to focus or focus?
Yeah, it's your opinion.
Nice. Well, we're gonna do some 911 calls. We're gonna take a few calls today.
Cool. That's exciting.
That should be a lot of fun.
I agree. I agree with you today, Jay. I'm agreeing. I concur.
It's about time.
You don't even say you should have concurred because I did. I already did that.
Well, it's about time.
It's a start. Yeah. It's a start.
You should always agree with the host.
I agree. On your agreeing with agreeing. On the agreement. We agree. I concur.
Are you bringing a how-to to the table today?
Of course, Jay. Of course.
I'm just checking. One or two? We have time.
That's a very personal question. But it's going to be a number one. I can tell you that right now.
Nice. Is he going to top last week's?
That one was very poop tubular. I don't know if that could be. I don't know if that could ever be beaten. The tube could ever be beaten. I don't know if you could beat the tube. If it could be beaten. We could do it. It could be done. We could do it today. Let's do it,
Jay. I was actually going to save this story for not in the news news.
I concur.
Shut up. But
what is it?
It's too good to wait.
It's too good to wait for what?
Yeah, I think our improv skills can actually come out.
And what is it? What is it too late for? Or it's too good to wait for?
Yeah, the story.
The story is too good to wait for...
Putting it in, not in the news news.
We're doing that now?
No, we're not doing it now.
What are we doing right now?
We're doing the story right now.
But it's not
but
in
it's
the
not,
news?
But I didn't want to put it in not
so
in the news news.
So this is not in the news. News. Right?
Exactly.
Okay. Whole new segment, folks. I concur.
No, this the reason is because I couldn't come up with sound bites for this story.
I'll just make some.
But it's just odd. It's just odd in itself. So,
okay. Should we start it? Balls. That was your first audio. That was your first MIDI.
Don't. Just,
no?
Just let me do it.
Okay.
All right. Thanks.
Zing. No.
Would you stop?
Just tell me when.
Seriously.
Just, point.
Just stop.
Okay.
Just stop and listen to the story.
I agree. Anytime, Jay. Anytime.
I think this is what an aneurysm feels like. Competitors gathered from around the globe for the World Snail Racing Championships. Wait, and then we'll get to the improv part.
Okay.
People in Norfolk have been racing the shell dwellers at their annual feat for 25 years. That's just one race.
It's the same race.
For 25 years, they finally finished. No. The annual gathering sees about 250 people from as far away as Malawa, which brings their hardback friends along to race. This year, it was pesky plant eater Terry who set his owner on a silvery trail to fame and fortune. Uh-huh. In his quest to become the world's fastest snail... The slimy competitor slithered 13 inches to the finish line in 2 minutes and 49 seconds.
13 inches in 2 minutes. That's fast.
That is pretty quick.
That's
for
quick. Wow.
But what goes into the training of a snail? Like, I just picture this snail laying on its back pumping some little barbells.
Tonight at 11, Terry, the world's fastest snail, is now in the latest scandal of doping. We're going to get more news on that at James at 11.
Owner 27-year-old Claire Hopkins from West Ryanham said, "We only came by chance, so this is quite unexpected. I feel quite privileged to win.
Me and my snail were just driving by.
I feel quite privileged to win." The creature who won the contest were there entered into the final at the end of the day. So he's got to be exhausted. He won once. He's got to race again. Poor snail.
That's the whole doping scandal. Yeah.
You think the finish line is... I don't know. You think the finish line is made out of salt, so if they go across it, they just start melt?
Well, that would make it really... Well, I guess if it's the last race.
Yeah, make it the last. Yeah, the final race. Well, you weren't kidding.
Yeah, final race. What part of Southern
Snail Master Neil Risenborough, 50, said, "This is the Snail Racing World Championships. All the rest are imitations. If you don't win the final here, then you're not a world champion." The victor claimed a silver tankard filled with lettuce and the prestige title of fastest snail in the world. The current record was achieved in 1995 at 2 minutes.
Wow. Now, it was also brought up to our attention that Terry had, the snail, had actually several years earlier beat testicular cancer and is now on the road. Not only has he recovered, but is just blazing a trail.
And other snails wear the little wristbands to, you know, help promote.
Yeah, snail strong, they call it.
Snail strong.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you would be the race bike. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us here today for the 25th annual snail race.
They're currently cleaning some debris off the track. They're moving the rest of the debris, and they're now going over the ride height of all of the snails. There is a minimum weight requirement for this race. It looks like Johnson, he's packed on a couple pounds. He's currently vomiting. If you listen really hard, we can hear the trainer.
Oh, Johnson, let me stick your finger in
Oh, there goes Johnson. Looks like he's got a couple of pounds off of him.
For those of you listening at home, we will have an interview with the winner at the end of the race. We'll see you in about 4 hours.
Yes. In the meantime, let's go to Days of Our Lives.
We'll see you next week.
Yeah.
Following the 25th annual snail competition, we would like to point out that we will be having the first annual butt dart blowing competition.
Yes.
I got you on that one.
If you notice, the tiger snail has a nice little swoosh added to his shell. Looks like he's picked up some sponsorship in the last couple of weeks.
People want to know how they keep these snails from, running up course. Well, the course is lined with salt and snail poisoning, so if they get a little too close to the edge, they will fry.
And they line the center with crack to keep them motivated. It is the only controlled substance that is approved by the Snail Racing Association.
Slugs are disqualified.
Correct. And the whole reason is that is it's really a weight requirement thing, and we've talked about this before, Jay. What happens is these snails, they don't have that shell, and it makes them a lot more aerodynamic, making them able to, they could really race this course in really under a minute 30. And we're, as we've said, the world record is 2 minutes right now, set by the great, I can't even remember the fucking snail's name because he's dead. He OD'd on snail juice and is dead, folks. So it doesn't really, who fucking cares? It's a snail. But anyway, it was set at 2 minutes. And that was back in 96. And now what we're working on now, and they really added a lot of safety procedures and precautions to these shells. You see, when these turtles hit that embankment, they're going
turtles.
To high.
Turtles.
I'm sorry. These snails.
You're confused with the what's slower than the turtle race. Competition.
Right.
Snails.
When these snails hit those banking turns, they're going at 10, 15, 30 seconds, miles per days, okay? And they'll hit that outside embankment and cause serious trauma to the brain, if they even have one.
Well, I really forgot that you did study a lot about the snail race and, you know, the training involved.
Well, I used to be a trainer myself back in the 80s. Unfortunately, due to a horrible mustache accident, I lost my champion snail racer.
What? How does that? How does your mustache affect the race?
It was very tragic. Yeah, he just got caught in there one day. I was doing a line of coke, cut him up. And it was gone, gone.
I believe the snails are getting ready to line up to the. Starting line.
They are lining up, so we'll go ahead and get back to you in about 30 minutes as they start lining up now. We'll take a quick break.
We'll take a break. We'll be back with our 25th annual snail race.
We don't have a lot of sponsors here for the snail race, but this Sunny Delight is delicious.
We'll be back with more of the race right after this.
8. We've worked together for years.
7. I'm the parking attendant. I park your car every day.
1 in 8 Americans is struggling with hunger.
6. We speak at PTA meetings all the time.
Including millions of children and seniors.
5. I went to summer camp with your son last year.
4. I'm your old friend. We went to high school together.
Someone you know is in need.
3. I work at the gas station. I pump your gas.
2. I'm your neighbor. Our kids are classmates.
Who's the 1 in 8 in your life that needs help?
1. We live next door to each other.
You can make a difference through Feeding America and its nationwide network of more than 200 food banks. Take action at feedingamerica.org/1in8. A public service announcement brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
All aboard!
Hi, this is Ozzy Osbourne. For many years, you know I've had a drink problem, and I'm trying to battle that problem every single day. But one thing I don't do, I don't drive my car when I'm drinking. I get someone to drive me. Do not drink and drive. It's the stupidest thing. If you drink, just don't drive. Not only are you going to hurt yourself, you may hurt some other person, and you wouldn't want that on your conscience, would you?
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Jen, I have something to tell you. Yesterday, I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder.
How about a slice? Let's hit the food court.
Jen, I have something to tell you. Yesterday, I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder.
Well, we could just go see the 740 movie instead of the 645.
Jen, I have something to tell you. Yesterday, I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder.
You just need some new earrings and you'll feel a lot better.
When a friend tells you they've been diagnosed with a mental illness, it can be a little awkward. But what's even more awkward is, if you're not there for her, she'll be less likely to recover.
Jen, I have something to tell you. Yesterday, I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder.
Girl, I'm here for you. Whatever it takes.
Mental illness. What a difference a friend makes. For more information on how to help a friend dealing with mental illness, go to whatadifference.org. This message is brought to you by the Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Mr. Crazy J.
You're crazy.
Are you crazy?
Are you crazy?
They're a crazy religious cult.
My friend's got a girlfriend and he hates that bitch. He tells me every day. He says, man, I really gotta lose my chick in the worst kind of way. She sits on her ass, he works his hands through the phone to kill the money every payday. But she wants more dinero.
Find me anywhere. So how do
girl, come shake the hand of the Invisible Man. My name is nobody. So I'm that guy that you walk right by, the one that you never look in the eye. And as you walk along with your mind all gone, yeah, that would be my foot that you're standing on. So how do you do? It's easy to see that you don't recognize me. So come shake the hand of the Invisible Man. My name is Nobody. My name is Nobody. Identity, anonymity, you see right through me. What's this I see? You look a lot like me, a certain familiarity. I see it too. Well, I'm just like you, an actual identity deja vu. So how do you do? It's easy to see that you recognize me. So come shake the hand of every man. My name is everybody. My name is everybody. My name is everybody. My name is everybody.
I starred in every high school play, blew every drama teacher away. Graduated first in my class at Juilliard. Took every acting workshop I could, and I dreamed of Hollywood. While I read my Uta Hagen and studied the bard, took the course and paid my dues, and got phenomenal rave reviews.
Instead, I'm here telling these lame jokes again and again and again. water. What have I done with my life?
I should have listened when my grandfather said, why don't you major in business instead? Now my hopes have all vanished and my dreams have all died. And I'll probably work forever as a tour guide on the jumbo cruise ride. Skip a dance for me.
Come on, give me something now. You know something, girl? I'm thinking about you right now. You don't want to know what I'm thinking, girl. Or do you?
Girl, you think I'm a fool, but I'm old enough to be dating your mom, and I did. She wasn't that bad, but you're grounded if you tell your dad that you like the way we dance with rock hard.
That I do not do drugs.
Why?
Why? No, I don't need to.
Why would you point that out, Jay?
Well, because I'm sure people are like, what the fuck?
What the fuck for what?
This show was really good, and now it's taking a dive.
Is this what we've come to? Yes, it is. Okay? Live with it. You're listening. Suck it up, people.
And the snails are ready to race.
Oh, yeah. I'll revert to that.
Yeah, we'll be back at the end of the show with that. We'll see how it works out.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll check in periodically and see how
we'll
it
check
goes.
In periodically with the race with Hans and Franz.
Hans and Franz.
Who are, because it's in North, where is it in? Manchester?
Norfolk.
Dickbot? What? Where's it in?
Norfolk.
Norfolk?
Yeah.
The fuck is that?
Germany.
Oh, wait. Yes, in Germany. Yeah. They dropped a lot of bombs there. Really good for snail racing. Good climate.
You drop a lot of bombs at the Monte Carlo.
I drop a lot of bombs, dude. I could be like, I'm like a World War II pilot, okay? I'm dropping bombs up in this place, okay? All around some Japanese tourists. It's just happening. And they're stinky. They're nasty. I said, what did I say to... I said that today to Charles. I was like, I could be in masonry. He said, oh, really? Why? I said, because I can bake some serious bricks.
What did you say to that guest today where he was just stunned?
Was it bears? No. Oh, he was all, how much are O tickets? I said, how much
you
got?
Yeah.
A serious face.
And he just stood there and looked at you like, are you serious?
Yeah. And right now we have a whole section of the Monte Carlo is closed, and people come up and be like, oh, why is that closed? Bears. They just went in there and got crazy.
It was a bloody massacre.
And towards the end of the day, a lady was like, well, why did they do that? And I said, oh, well, you know, MGM Grand has lions and the Mirage has tigers, so... Of course, they gave us bears. You see how well that worked out. She's like, oh, that's so sad. I said, it'll be back in September. Crazy-ass bears living in the walls, and you just get into everything, you know? They're punching out guests, stealing their sandwiches from fucking Subway! You know?
All right.
I got an idea. Let's do some 911 calls.
That's nice. We're just getting to that.
I agree.
All right. Here's our first one. This is about a deadly python attack.
Ooh.
Bam!
911, do you need police? Fire or an ambulance?
It's an emergency.
Okay, what do you need? You need a police, fire, or an ambulance?
I don't know, the baby's dead.
What address are you calling from?
A stupid snake got out in the middle of the night and strangled the baby.
Okay, stay on the line with me. I'm going to get you over to an EMS dispatcher. You need to answer all of our questions, okay?
Yeah.
What is the address of your emergency? Okay, and are you in a subdivision or a mobile park?
No, ma'am, it's a house, and we're right on the road.
Okay. And what's your name, please? Okay, and what's the problem? Tell me exactly what happened.
Our snake, we have a Burmese python, and she's about 12 foot long. She got out of the cage last night and got into the baby's crib and strangled her to death.
Stay on the line, please. Okay.
You can't take it serious when you hear that.
This is not funny, though, folks.
That's not funny.
But that part was.
Okay, I do have help on the way there for you, sir. I need to ask you a few more questions, okay?
You know, he went to jail for this.
Yeah, he did. Here's another one about
that,
a noise.
That
complaint.
Shows you right there. Never whip out your snakes in front of kids.
911.
Yeah, you have got people working in the school right now and have been working all night long, violating the noise code over here.
You're reporting a noise complaint. That's not an emergency call, so you'll have to call the business line.
Really?
Yes, really. This is for emergency calls only.
Well, how about if I shoot him? Would it be an emergency then?
Sure would.
All right.
But you'll have to call back on the business line. Thank you.
Damn.
And I try not to do these 911 calls, and people email me and say it's one of their best parts of the show. So I got to dig up some of the... Some of them aren't that long, but they're pretty funny.
Mm-hmm. And I asked him, can you get me an extra shrimp or can you get my money back? And he sort of hollered. So I just said, I'm going to call the police. I always get the shrimp out of life, so I said, I'm going to get extra meat this time. But he didn't even put extra shrimp in there. I'm just saying to get a police officer.
That whole thing...
is just about a woman complaining that she didn't get an, she didn't get enough shrimp on her in her order from Long John Silver's.
Wow. You know, so she didn't say police. She was calling the police.
I'm calling the police. let's see. There's one more in here.
Why so, do you lift me up, buttercup baby, just to bring me down?
When you're not around, I need you.
I need you.
I need every darling.
Something, 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 something.
Why don't you fill me up?
Fill me up.
Buttercup.
I got
All right, I don't know what's happening to the 911 call, but this will be kind of interesting.
What the hell, Jay?
What do you want from me? It's not my fault.
A quality show, but that's obviously too hard to do.
That stopped a long time ago. That stopped when you became the co-host.
True that.
Come in here doing whatever you want.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, so instead of a 911 call, how about a really bad celebrity singing a popular song?
All right.
All right. Tell me if you have any idea who this might be.
Load up, and bring your friends. It's fun to lose and to pretend. She's overboard, she's self-assured. Oh no, I know. A dirty word. Hello, 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 how low.
It's Paul Anka hello. Singing.
I know who this is.
Yeah.
Hello. I know who this is. Hello. This is Donatello from the Ninja Turtles.
It's Paul Anka singing Nirvana.
That sounds more like Donatello.
Here we are now.
Are you sure?
Entertain us. I feel stupid. A contagious.
Donatello.
Ninja Turtles. I'm a lotto, an albino, a mosquito, my libido, yeah.
Wow. All right, let's do another one.
All right, well, as you know, Rich Natoli starts his new show at the Tropicana on August 1st. And he has given us some tickets to give away to some listeners for those who want to go to the premiere show August 1st in the Bobby Slayton showroom.
Of course.
at 2 o'clock on August 1st. So first person to email us and can tell us who is actually doing this song will be the winner.
All right.
You're going to love it. I made it kind of easy.
All right, is this the fake or what? All right, okay.
Don't guess it, Michael.
Here we go. Yeah, that's right.
Huh.
All that's off. Good.
Touch me there.
Oh, yeah.
It was 20 years ago today that Sergeant Pepper taught the band to play. And they've been going in and out of style, but they're guaranteed to raise a smile. So may I introduce to you the act you've known for all these years. Pepper's
Lonely Hearts Club Band. Oh, that's Dewey Griffin from Family Guy. That's Dewey Griffin.
So, the first person that can actually tell us who that is.
Dewey Griffin.
Through email. You can email me at crazyjcomic.com.
Lewis! That's Banana Mo. Come here.
I told you, you can't guess, and that's not right anyway.
Oh.
So you can email me if you want crazyj@comic.com. Again, that's crazyj@comic.com. Coming up here in just
it's
a little
Pantera
while.
From Thundercats.
You're close.
I'm close?
Yeah.
Okay.
Coming up here in just a little while, Jay White's going to be here.
Who's that?
I
remember now. He impersonates Neil Young.
Neil Diamond.
That's it. Yeah. Neil Diamond Young. He has two names.
Just Neil Diamond.
No, he's got two names. You didn't know that. You know, see, it's trivia that I knew that you didn't.
Okay, well, we'll ask him that when he comes
in. Yeah, Neil Diamond Young. Yeah, that's his name.
Well, he does impersonate the younger Neil Diamond. That might be why you're confused.
No, I'm pretty sure.
Anyway, Jay White's going to be here a little bit later on. We're going to be taking your calls as well, plus a few requests, things like that.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, Mike will be here with his first how-to.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like
oh,
it.
No, Mr. Kool-Aid Man.
And we'll be back right after
in
this.
In times like these, violence in our schools is a reality. So it's important to know how to prevent such tragedies from happening. Talk to your kids. Explain to them the dangers of weapons at school. And tell them that if they see a student with a weapon or even hear someone talking about having one, they need to report it immediately. Tell them if something doesn't look right or seem right to you, speak up. Get to know who your child is spending time with and where they are at all times. If you notice that your child has sudden mood or behavior changes or seems to always be angry or sad, talk to a teacher, administrator, or medical professional. Be a role model for them and settle your own conflicts without resorting to violence. School should be a safe place for our children. We all need to work together to keep it that way. Let's put an end to these tragedies. Ask your school to adopt an anti-violence program. Visit ncpc.org to learn more on how to keep our children safe. That's ncpc.org.
A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
Hello, car of teenagers. If you don't mind, I'm only going to broadcast this out of the speaker on the passenger side so we can talk without the driver listening in. Okay, now that we're alone, we can talk about your friend's driving. It's okay, he can't hear us. Now, I'd never say this to his face, but he might be the worst driver in the history of the world. You should say something, something witty. Make a joke about the airbag or something. Hearses are funny, too. You could make a joke about hearses. I better say something to the driver real quick so he doesn't get suspicious that we're talking about him. Still talking to the passenger. Not about you at all. Just going to be one more minute. He is totally going to get you killed.
Find other interesting ways to speak up against reckless driving by visiting our website at speakuporelse.com. Because it doesn't matter what you say, just say something. Brought to you by the Ad Council and speakuporelse.com.
I'm Ellie the Mammoth, and my friend Sid the Sloth knows what being a great parent is all about.
I love kids.
It starts with believing you can do it.
I'm responsible, loving, nurturing.
You've got to set a good example.
Hey, no biting. Uh-uh.
And give a whole lot of love.
I love you so much.
And you'll get a whole lot back, too. The rest? Well, that's up to you. Remember, you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
I've had trouble with Angel trying to finish high school. He's always struggled through even elementary. It would be frustrating because sometimes I would talk to him and he wouldn't even turn around and look at me. I would ask him, so you're going to school today, right? He would say, yeah. And then later during the day, I would get a phone call saying he wasn't in class. He dropped off for a whole month. There's a time that I just gave up. I just decided, you know what, I don't know what to do with you. I mean, I pretty much have done everything to try to get you back to school. You know, you feel that maybe you're not a good parent or maybe you don't know how to fix the problem. I really didn't have many people to look to but myself. Now I think that it's gotten a lot better. Now I at least have hope that he'll finish high school. I can't give up. He's still my son, you know. I can't give up.
Give your teen the boost they need to graduate. Call 1-877-4A-KID or join us at boostup.org for tips and advice. Brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
This is Weird Al Yankovic, and you're listening to Crazy J.
We've been together for so very long, but now things are changing, oh I wonder what's wrong. Seems you don't want me around. The passion is gone and the flames died down. I guess I lost a little bit of self-esteem. That time that you made it with the whole hockey team. You used to think I was nice. Now you tell all your friends that I'm the Antichrist. Oh, why did you disconnect the brakes on my car? That kind of thing is hard to ignore. Got a funny feeling. You don't love me anymore. that we were having problems when you put those piranhas in my bathtub again. You're still the light of my life. Oh, darling, I'm begging, won't you put down that knife? You know I even think it's kinda cute the way you poison my coffee just a little each day. I still remember the way that you laughed when you pushed me down the elevator shaft. Oh, if you don't mind me asking, what's this poisonous cobra doing in my underwear drawer? Sometimes I get to thinking you don't love me anymore. You slammed my face down on the barbecue grill. Now my scars are all healing, but my heart never will. You set my house on fire. You pulled out my chest hairs with an old pair of pliers. Oh, you think I'm ugly and you say I'm cheap. You shaved off my eyebrows while I was asleep. You drilled a hole in my head. Then you dumped me in a drainage ditch and left me for dead. Oh, you know this really isn't like you at all. You never acted this way before. Honey, something tells me you don't love me anymore. Oh, no, no. Got a funny feeling you don't love me.
It's the Rockin' Comedy Show. Who's this?
Well, this be Mrs. Laura Robia. And who might this be?
Well, this would be Crazy J. I don't think I know Laura Robia.
Well, let me go back. Maiden name was Cunningham.
Oh, you.
Oh, yeah, her.
Yeah, you're a longtime friend.
Exactly.
Great. This is going to be embarrassing, I think. What's up?
Just calling in to say hey and see what's going on. It's been a long time.
I'm just doing a radio show. Nice of you to call. Well, we're busy.
So what's the skinny day? Tell me what's going on.
What's the skinny? His name is Mad Mike.
Ah, well, nice to meet you, Mike.
I don't know. I don't know where he's at.
Nice.
He's here. Sometimes when the phone rings, it's like he's like a little rat, and he gets scared and he runs off.
Is he that intimidated by the female species?
Well, he didn't know it was going to be a female caller.
Oh. Guess he likes the male between his legs.
So I'm sure you have some sort of interesting, you know, Crazy J story growing up terrorizing the neighborhood.
You terrorized your sister and me quite well.
How did I do that?
Oh, you were a little spinster.
A little spinster. Explain. Give me an example.
Give you an example. Let's see. I still remember at the house when you and your sister had to share the front bedroom, and you had all your furniture dividing the bedroom. Your side, her side.
Right.
And you just kept trying to put all your shit on Tori's side. And it turned into a brawl where your mother had to come in and flip out and beat your asses.
I think we just did that so that my mom would beat our asses. That's it? That's the best you got?
That's the best. I mean,
You could have come up with.
No, you were younger. You were younger, so it's like you were always the annoying little brother.
Right, but you
got. Hey, Rockin' Comedy Show. Who's this?
Are you seriously talking to
Hello?
Me?
Hello. There's somebody there, right? Hello?
Yes, Mike, there's somebody there.
Rock and Comedy Show. Thanks for calling.
Are you talking to me?
I don't know. Who is this?
This is Laura.
Hi, Laura. Did I accidentally call you?
No, not really.
No?
Laura, this is Mad Mike.
Oh, God, no. Oh, shit.
No, thanks. I'm cutting back.
Nice. Oh, man.
So if you were eating a pickle right now, what kind of pickle would you eat?
I found that there are spicy pickles. Do you like those?
Spicy dills. Yeah, that sounds good.
So that's the best you could do. I was little and I terrorized neighbor, but you could have talked about the time that, you know, I befriended Lou for a little while so I could go in the garage and see how many balls she's actually collected.
What was that?
Remember? Lou, she used to take all the kids' balls that rolled into her yard.
Oh, God, yeah.
And I befriended her for a little while so that I could go and get inside her house and see how many balls there actually were. And she had bins of them in the garage.
Are you serious? I never made it into her house. I didn't trust going inside that house. She's a freak. No. She used to sit there and tell us all that there used to be a bunch of little kids on that street until one day her swimming pool was filled in and all the little kids disappeared.
Yeah, she used to yell at my mom every time her friend came over. She goes, every time that silver car's out there, your kids just run amok.
Oh, yeah. The police knew me by first name and your sister by our first name because they were there every Saturday.
I think pretty much everybody on the block was known by first name.
I know.
Hey, Rock and Comedy Show, you're on the air.
It's the same girl.
Oh. Oh. I knew that. How are you?
Excuse me?
How are you?
I am good. And what about you?
Well, you didn't answer the question about if you were eating a pickle right now, what kind of pickle would you eat?
She said a dill, right?
I said a spicy dill.
Spicy dill?
A spicy dill. Well, I thought that was your answer, so I wasn't sure.
I always want sweets.
Do you have a fond childhood memory about Mike?
About Mike? No, I didn't know Mike.
Make one up. Just make one up. Just put me in somebody's place.
Make one up?
Yeah. Like, pretend like I... Just put me in the place of Jay.
Oh, let's see. How about the time... Let's see, when only Lou came outside and Jay's dad decided to get into a fight.
And
Mike's dad came outside and decided to get in a push and shoving match with an old lady who was trying to beat the shit out of him.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Lou had some great, we had some great Lou stories.
Oh, yes.
You know, there's a fond memory of you. I actually have two fond memories of you.
Oh, really? Tell me all about it.
One of them was you taking your guitar, and we were all going to be famous singers. You remember this?
Oh, I think vaguely, yes.
And I think we sang all day long until it drove your mom absolutely crazy, Kids in America.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Do you remember?
Oh, God, yes.
Do you remember that time with the colon worms and Taco Bell? You vomited all over that dog?
Well.
Speaking of dogs, remember when we brought home the big black lab?
Breezy.
Right. And she was a young pup, and we brought her over to your yard. And
on that Hot Wheels car?
No, and she, she had a stream of shit that shot out and almost nailed Laura right in the leg, and she jumped about 2 feet in the air.
Dog had issues.
I had this one dog.
Who do you think the owner was?
It's better than having the dog humping your leg while you're talking to your neighbors.
Hey, at this point, I wouldn't even stop it. It's been so long since I got laid, I'd take the action.
Nice. So obviously you haven't been neutered yet. Anyway.
No, I don't think that... Well, that's probably a good idea, going for the little snip snip.
Well, it would cut down on the urges.
So you've seen our crazy outings, I'm sure, on Facebook.
I've seen a couple of them. I have not been very faithful about jumping on there, but I've seen enough to know that, yeah, you're a bunch of crazy lunatics, and it's cool with me.
Yeah, we love to go out on the town and tear it up.
Well, nice. You know, I'm a stay-at-home mom.
You are I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it's hard, you know, raising kids. My nipples haven't had a rest in 6 years. I believe in, you know, keeping them. Don't wean them early, you know.
Well, you know, after 6 weeks, you can leave them at home alone.
Yeah. What do you think about powdered milk? Because that's
powdered
not all
milk.
I'm pumping out anymore.
Well, then, honey, you're dried up, and you just need to give it up. You'll be farting dust soon. It's cool.
So have you checked out some of our crazy videos on the website?
Actually, I just watched your little slideshow that you had on there, and I made a comment on it.
Nice.
Yes.
So you're gonna have to become a regular listener. You know, you can download it with iTunes, and it'll always be available for you.
Well, mostly I'm on the internet, so I'll just probably do it that way. But it's cool.
Do you think you could listen at work?
At work?
Yeah.
Probably just audio. Yes.
Well, that's all it is.
It's all audio.
It's all audio. We do the video clips as a bonus.
Okay. Well, then, yeah, as long as I'm still at my desk, but I do running around, so if I have to do an x-ray, it's going to have to wait.
What if we hired a Mexican with the walkie-talkie to follow you around?
Now, that could be interesting.
Yeah.
I like that idea.
It could work.
Nice.
And you probably already have oranges if you get hungry. You need citrus.
Well, you know what? I have 2 orange trees in my backyard, so I can keep them around for a while.
Wow.
Nice.
That's cool.
Well, we want to thank you for calling in. Hey, Lou's still alive, right?
Yes, she is.
She's still in that same house?
She's still in and out of the Cracker Barrel house.
She's still in that same house?
Yes, she is.
What about...
She went outside one day and decided to lay down on the yard and just look around for hours. So the neighbors called, and so the cops came and got her, took her away, and she had sold all her furniture in her house and was waiting for the Martians to come get her.
Nice. What about
time was that? Because they were probably running late.
Well, they already released her. You know, she's back at home with nothing there. But, no, she's still alive and kicking, and she's going to live longer than the cockroaches, dude.
What about Lois Bulkin? Is she still there?
You know what? Lois Bulkin is still alive. Is still driving that same old battle tank wagon that she had.
Nice. 40 years later.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Oh, it's still wearing the same clothes, too.
Wow. Some things never change.
Yeah, same thing with old Joe and Linda that had the monkey.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're still there, and the house still looks the same.
Is the monkey there?
Monkey's still alive, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. We should get a picture with the monkey.
Well, if I can ever get Joe to go up in his backyard, I'll take a picture of the monkey and email it to you.
That would be awesome. We'll just Photoshop ourselves in there.
There you go.
Nice. Yeah. Well, we want to thank you for calling in.
Not a problem, Jay.
And we'll continue our online drinking game.
Yeah, game on, buddy.
Yeah, you're going to lose.
I don't think so.
I think so.
Never send a man to do a woman's job.
I'm already ahead.
Not by long. Not for long.
All right, we'll see. All right, bye.
Starting out and everyone's cool. I can feel the heat, but it's soothing. getting dumber by the minute.
Mom, am I dumb?
Sometimes I think you're not as dumb as I think you are.
It's Crazy Jay.
Stupid idea.
Way to go, stupid.
Stupid.
Yep, that's me. I'm that stupid.
To the Rockin' Comedy Show. Make sure you check us out online, rockincomedyshow.com. Get video clips, some fun stuff. Check us out on MySpace, Facebook, Twitter. It's all there. It's all there for your entertainment.
Are you still Twittering?
I'm still Twittering.
You said last
day. I did. I tried to get rid of it. Damn it. And now I don't understand why Vegas.com has a Twitter account.
That's weird.
Yeah, I don't get that.
Who cares what they do?
Yeah, I don't.
We definitely
Yeah,
don't.
I work for them and I don't care.
Yeah.
I was checking out, like, what could they possibly Twitter? Like, but then they were giving out some pretty good secret stuff, so I'm going to keep my eye on the...
Really?
Oh, yeah. Like, yesterday, I didn't know it was tequila day, and they listed 5 bars that were doing free tequila shots all day until, like, 5 o'clock.
I like how they can do that on Twitter, but they can't fucking tell us. You know?
Yeah.
We just work for the company. That's all.
Right.
You know?
I was like, what the hell is this? It's free alcohol day?
What? Awesome.
Yeah, I was like, what the hell is this? What kind of bullshit is this?
Yeah, it's crazy. Oh, and I finally updated my MySpace, put some new pictures up.
Saw that.
Feel free to go and check that out. Don't tase me, bro. That's my name on my MySpace. Don't ask what my MySpace thing is, because I don't know. I just know my name's Don't Tase Me Bro. Ho, ho.
I want to thank Laura for calling in.
Laura Bush? Thank you.
Laura.
It was an honor and a privilege.
It was not
lady.
Laura Bush.
Oh.
That answers the question to the lady that emailed me the other day. Do you and Mike do the same show at the same time?
Somebody really asked that? That is, no.
No. No. We're totally in sync.
Yeah.
I've added all of Mike's parts later.
Yeah, exactly. I just come in later and just say stuff, and he just adds it in where he thinks it's probably not appropriate. No, we do sit here. We're in the same room. You've seen the.
But you said you said during the break that it's amazing. You come in here every week with nothing.
I do that. You know, I was just saying to Crazy Jay and we got a Pete's also up in this piece. Krista, she's chilling with us. And I really walk in here, and I do this. I go, oh God, I got nothing. I got nothing. I've been working all day. I just got my Taco Bell and, you know, my rock and my Sunny D, and that's all I got. I literally come walking in here with no comedic value, nothing written down, nothing in mind, nothing in store for you, like nothing, dead inside.
And I see you doing those how-tos, and I'm like, you have a stack of them already, already on your desk. Yeah, you never know.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, I literally have sitting here.
Like 8 or 9?
More than that, 10. And then in the drawer, I got at least another 10 more somewhere. I mean, I've got like 20 just that may never even see the light of day. I'm like Prince, okay? I've got like a shit locked in a vault that you will never see. That is just the wackiest, weirdest shit that I just may never get to.
Yeah. So I mean, you're stunned about how well, you know, every week you leave and you're like, I just don't think there's anything there. We put the show together and it's
awesome.
It's freaking hysterical.
Somehow we just managed to make it work week in and week out. And we appreciate the fact that you guys are suckered into listening every week, you know.
They're listening more now going, these guys are actually getting guests.
Yeah, I know. People actually want to talk to us. Yeah. That's the weirdest part.
How are they getting these people? That's what Angela said today. She goes, how are you getting these people?
Well, what we tell them
is... Wait, say it like her.
How are you getting these people?
My response to her was, I'm badass.
I hurt my back yesterday. I don't even know what I
had it like 3 days ago. Sorry, I haven't been with you.
I've just been so busy. Every time I see you, I just want to come over and I want to say hi, but I'm just so busy that I don't even have time. And, you know, they're working me so hard right now. And that's literally kind of how she goes about her day. But she is awesome. We love Angela because she is comedic value. Even though she's not on the show, she supports us.
She's planning on it.
We get her on here one day. And what we do, this is how we get a lot of these celebrities. We tell them that we're actually a Narcotic Anonymous helpline. And they'll usually come in or call in. And it's worked pretty good so far.
She goes, how do you get all these people on your show? I was like, well, I'm just badass.
Yeah. I just say knee pads.
You say whatever you want. Whatever works.
You know what? This is the thing. We should really post this. We had a great exchange of text messages yesterday.
The only one I want, and I'm glad I have it because it's going on text messages from last night. This guy, even if I send you a serious email at work, I never get the response that I should get. I was like sending you something like, hey, this is what's going on, and your response is like, bananas! And so, like, yesterday, you're like, dude, can I borrow $25? I'm like, no. And you're like, well, about $12? I'm like, no. 57 cents? I go, well, yes, you can borrow 57 cents. So then after you get off work, you send me a text message. I'm on my way over to get that 57 cents.
You're like,
okay. I'm like, okay. And like, that's all I said. And then you're like, by the way.
Good, I really need it.
Yeah, I'm going to take your microwave because I need it. I was like, okay. Like nothing has fazed me yet because it's coming from Michael. This is what I expect. And then this is the one that I will post on text messages from last night. So if anybody sees that, this is an actual text message from Matt Mike that said, can I borrow a pound of salt? And a table saw. Yes. That's what I said. I said yes.
That was all, hey, can I take your turtle for a ride? And then, how much does a salmon weigh? Is it like 10 pounds? I sure hope so. I don't know. It's just...
And then you're like, by the way, I'm not coming over.
Yeah. Like, also, I got called in. The electrical system on Moon Station 7's whacking out. The Varnox has chewed through the cables. You're all, what?
Oh, like, whatever, Michael. I'm going to bed.
And even better, you had the 57 cents.
I know. I had it right on the counter.
He was ready. That's so funny. It's good.
Well, it's just funny. You asked for 57 cents, and I had it just sitting on the counter.
Just happened to be there. Like it was destiny.
Yes. So I watched that interview, right? Let's talk about it. We get videos blocked from work, so we can't really see them too much. Mm. I watched the interview of the first Anakin from episode one. Yeah, he's a geek.
Right?
He's a little bit of a freak.
He's weird, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's weird. And I'm weird.
And he's saying how episode one kind of ruined his acting career. I think it was your acting.
Yeah. I don't
really. Him and Jar Jar Binks ruined episode one.
Yeah.
And I love how the progression, like in episode two, Jar Jar Binks had like three scenes.
Yeah.
And he was mainly in the background. And then in episode three, he wasn't there at all.
Yeah. I was like, no.
He was just in the back of the Jedi Council. That was about it. He didn't say anything at all. They're like, just shut him up.
Yeah, we better just get rid of this guy.
People don't like him.
Him and Anakin. We gotta turn him into Darth Vader really fast.
Yeah, they're getting really annoyed.
Yeah.
They know it's gonna happen. Let's just do it.
Exactly.
I like that. They're like, have you seen it? He's like, I haven't seen it in like 10 years. Oh, wait, I take that back. It hasn't been that long, but I was watching it with a friend, but I was more interested in his friend because she was beautiful.
A long time ago. In a galaxy far away, Naboo was under an attack. And I thought me and Qui-Gon Jinn could talk the Federation into maybe cutting them a little slack. But their response, it didn't thrill us. They locked the doors and tried to kill us. We escaped from that gas and met Jar Jar and Boss Nass. We took a bongo from the scene and we went to feed to see the queen. We all wound up on Tatooine. That's where we found this boy. Oh my, my, this here Anakin guy. Maybe Vader someday later, now he's just a small fry. He left his home and kissed his mommy goodbye, saying, soon I'm gonna be a Jedi. Soon I'm gonna be a Jedi. Did you know this junkyard slave isn't even old enough to shave? But he can use the force, they say. Yeah, he's probably gonna marry her someday. Well, I know he built C-3PO, and I've heard how fast his pod can go. And we were broke, it's true. So we made a wager or two. Ooh, he was a pre-pubescent flying ape. And the minute Jabba started off that race, well, I knew who would win first place. We caught a ride back to Naboo, cause Queen Amidala wanted to. I frankly would have liked to stay. We all fought in that epic war, and it wasn't long at all before little Hotshot flew his plane and saved the day. And in the end, some Gungans died, some ships blew up and some pilots fried, a lot of folks were croaking, the battle droids were broken, and the Jedi I admire most met up with Darth Maul and now he's toast. Well, I'm still here and he's a ghost. I guess I'll train this boy. And I was singing, my, my, this here Anakin guy. Maybe Vader someday later, now he's just a small fry. And he left his home and kissed his mommy goodbye, saying soon I'm gonna be a Jedi. Soon I'm gonna be a Jedi. We were singing, my, my, this here Anakin guy. Maybe Vader someday later, now he's just a small fry. And he left his home and kissed his mommy goodbye, saying soon I'm gonna be a Jedi.
Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope.
Her name was Leia. She was a princess with a Danish on each ear and Darth Vader drawing near. So R2-D2 found Ben Kenobi.
Obi-Wan.
He'd have to put the Death Star plans into the Rebellion's hands. So Luke and Obi-Wan had to get to Alderaan. So they stopped into Mos Eisley to have a drink with Han at the Star Wars Cantina. The weirdest creatures you've ever seen. At the Star Wars Cantina. Music and blasters and old Jedi masters at the Star Wars.
His
name was Solo.
Han Solo.
He was a pilot with a blaster at his side and a smile 12 parsecs wide there with Chewbacca. He was a Wookiee. They met with Luke and Obi-Wan about the Millennium Falcon docking bay 94. Stormtroopers at the door with the flash of Ben's lightsaber. Now there's an arm on the floor at the Star Wars Cantina. The weirdest creatures you've ever seen. Star Wars Cantina. Music and blasters and old Jedi masters at the Star Wars.
Mos Eisley Spaceport. You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy. You must be cautious.
His name was Yoda. He was a Muppet. Darth Vader was so bad. And by the way, he's Luke's dad. Luke kissed his sister. His hand got cut off. In that galaxy far, far away, Luke has had a lousy day. Boba Fett was so mean. Jabba had bad hygiene. Why didn't they all just relax back on Tatooine at the Star Wars Cantina? The weirdest creatures you've ever seen. At the Star Wars Cantina. Music and blasters and old Jedi masters at the Star Wars.
The Force will be with you. Always.
It's the Rockin' Comedy Show. That's Mark Jonathan Davis, long before he became Richard Cheese with that classic song, The Star Wars Cantina. Ahead of that, oh, a lovely little number by Weird Al called The Saga Begins. It is the Crazy J Show. I am your host, Crazy J, and in just a few minutes, we're going to be visited here on the 44th floor by a real good friend of mine. It's been a while since he's been on the show, but he's going to come in, pop in, say hi, tell us what he's up to. His name is Jay White. Jay White performs nightly at the Riviera Hotel here in Las Vegas as Neil Diamond. Yes, and it is a fantastic show. You'll enjoy it, even if you're not a big fan of Neil Diamond, because he does all the songs you know. And in honor of Jay being here, here's Mark Eddy.
One of my favorite artists of all time, Mr. Neil Diamond. You could understand every single word from Neil Diamond. That's because he spoke through nearly the entire song, right? In fact, Neil Diamond was known as the great storyteller of rock and roll. The great storyteller of rock and roll, huh? Makes him sound like a third grade teacher or something. Have you ever heard the story about a man who dreamed about being a cat in a hat? And then became one. Well, except for the names and a few of the places, if you talk about me, my story's the same one. But I've got an emptiness deep inside and I tried. But how could you, would you know? On a box with a fox in a boat with a goat, I've never cared for the sound of eating alone. I am Sam. Sam, I am. And I want you to eat those green eggs and ham. I'm Sam, I cry. I'm Sam, said I. And you would like them if you'd give them a try. You'd eat the men anywhere.
Neil Diamond, yeah!
Take a walk, you can hardly breathe the air, look around. It's a hard life everywhere. People talk, but they never really care. On the street, there's a feeling of despair. But every day, there's a brand new baby born. And every day, there's the sun to keep you warm. And it's all right. Yeah, it's all right. I'm alive. And I don't care. Love and love is all I really need.
It was like listening to Scanlon talk, okay? Ridiculous.
Scanlon says to me today, because, you know, a while back, Scanlon and I were really good friends before...
the incident.
The Holocaust.
Did it ring to the Holocaust?
he said to me today, he goes, remember when we used to just talk at the desk and just laugh and, you know, made the day go by and, you know, we conversations were great. And I said, remember when you never used to be an asshole?
Yeah.
Told me to fuck off because of your birthday. Remember those days?
And that's how it all started.
I like that you said something yesterday. You sent me a text message about Scanlon, and I was just like, I hate him.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah. I don't even remember what it was.
And speaking of hate, let's do a how-to.
Oh, yeah.
Yay!
Okay. All right. Okay, folks. Just because you put the pudding on the manile. No. That was my horrible Bill Cosby impersonation. Larry Jones, you're welcome. More people are now going to go see your show to get me out of their minds. just because, okay, I tell you guys how to go and be a ninja, okay? And then I go and I teach you. I nurture you. I raise you.
Right.
Okay? To be an urban ninja. To increase your skill. That doesn't mean you're an expert on ninja shit, okay? That doesn't mean that you can just go onto any how-to website and write your own goddamn ninja how-to. And I'm going to give you a great example of what some retard decided to do. Now, in all honesty, I don't think it was a retard. I just think it had to be somebody who was maybe a little younger than myself by at least a couple months. Okay, but I thought it was hilarious, and I figured I would share it with people. Because, okay, first off, this is how to train to be a ninja using stuff you find at home.
Nice.
I'm going to tell you right now, there is nothing in this how-to that has anything to do with the title of the how-to, okay? Nothing. If you find something that fits, you tell me. First, you need to build up strength and flexibility. No shit. Doing pull-ups on a tree limb or something that will hold you is a good workout for arms. End of tip. Okay? That's the whole thing. Number two. So basically, you now know how to strengthen your arms on a tree limb. This is your ninja training, folks. Now, for flexibility, sit down on the ground, spread your legs as far as you can, lean forward. The first time you do this will be a little painful, especially for most guys. But to be a ninja, one must bear it. Yeah. Then, lean side to side, because that's all the stretching you need to be a ninja. That is the end of tip number two. So basically, learn how to do the fucking splits and pull-ups on tree limbs so far. What that has to do with finding stuff at home? I don't know. After you build your strength and flexibility, because you're all done with all that, right? You got everything you need now. Jesus. What else? Let's do this. I'm a ninja. All right? Now that you got all your strength and flexibility, hardcore ninja-like training down, you need to learn how to fight, right? Well, you may not want to spend some money or time. Who wants to spend any time in a karate class? So ask someone who does Taekwondo or another martial art to show you how to block, punch, kick, and maybe some locks and throws. Just ask them to show you really quick. You'll learn it right away, right? That's the end of that tip. So now You're strong, you're flexible, and you can now fight, even though you spent no money and you went to no classes. Because you got some douchebag to show you how to throw a punch and to block one. If you even remember when the time comes, you know? See, this is why I got caught at 7-Eleven. Right. People like this, alright? Listen into this shit. If you want agility and all-around strength and speed, climb trees, Jay. Or buildings. Also, run or jog a mile or more. Or even swim for cardiovascular exercise. What the hell does that have to do with being a ninja?
Because you get in shape.
You now have this crazy-ass kid running around trees, swimming in the backyard, and going up to everybody they know, hey, show me how to... Watching Power Rangers to figure out how to throw a punch. Oh, this is painful. Okay, next. That's the end of that tip, by the way. We're almost done. You're almost a ninja at this point. Okay?
That's it?
Almost. Practice hourly, every day, and drink plenty of water. Are you serious? You're probably asking yourself, Mike, seriously? Seriously. Okay. Wait, there's one more tip. And this is probably the most important one. I can't even believe that they added this as a whole fucking step. This is a whole step. This is your last and final step.
Give it to me.
Do not forget to keep the fat off. What does that mean? Tips. Here's some tips, folks. You may even want to buy some ninja tools.
Stars.
But you may not use them much today because things have changed a lot since ninjas. Try to be as stylish as Gianni Marasco while doing tricks.
What?
It's hard, but still try. Who the hell is that? Why am I doing tricks? I thought I was a ninja. This right here totally mind boggles me. Borrow stuff from neighbors. Can I have some salt and a table saw? Climb trees, do pull-ups on the monkey bars, and practice stealth and blending in. Okay? Last tip, guys. For a good reference on ninjas and their total awesomeness, read, I'm not kidding here with this name, Robert Hamburger's Real Ultimate Power. You just figured out how to train to be a ninja using stuff you find at home. Again, the title makes no sense. But you know it.
I'm glad you brought that in.
I don't understand it. I don't get it. It warps my mind. And my mind's already pretty fucked.
Can I borrow your tree, Hedger?
Yeah. This branch is totally getting in the way of my total good curls. What do you borrow? Can I borrow your squeegee? What do you do? Borrow stuff from neighbors. That's like a real tip. I don't know. Whatever. Take from that what you will. Learn, folks.
Nice.
I'm educating you.
Well, on that note, how about a celebrity prank phone call?
Oh, yeah.
This is where they take, you know, audio clips from some celebrity and they call somebody. And
Oh, yeah, that's great.
Yeah, we did it with Judge Judy.
I like
stuff
that.
Like that. This one is actually Napoleon Dynamite calling the Walmart Auto Department.
Oh, awesome. I was just there, in fact.
Walmart Automotive. Yes. What kind of bike do you have? What's that? What kind of bike do you have? What's that? Have you heard about the gas?
The gas?
Wait till you give me a ride in an hour.
What's that?
This is a girl. Girls only want boyfriends who have great skills. Can you bring me my chapstick?
Wait, you got the wrong number?
Hello?
What's that?
Wait till you give me a ride in an hour.
Okay, who are you calling?
You're calling Dynamite.
What's that?
This is a girl.
Okay, you're on crack?
Can I try it really quick? Can you just come get me? Okay, bye.
You're on crack.
Here's another one where he calls Williams. I think it's some other kind of store or something. I don't know.
Williams Coffee Club, can I help you?
They need you to give me a ride in an hour.
I'm sorry?
They need you to give me a ride in an hour.
Can I give you a ride in an hour?
Yes.
How's
it going?
You have the wrong number.
How's your neck?
How's my neck?
Yes.
Who is this?
Can you bring me my chapstick? Is grandmother?
It's who?
Napoleon Dynamite.
I can't hear you.
Napoleon Dynamite. This is a girl.
You're a girl?
Yes.
Wow. Good for you.
What kind of bike do you have? What kind of bike do you have?
Sorry?
What kind of bike do you have?
I don't drive a bike. Too popular for that.
You need to give me a ride in an hour.
Sorry, I can't do it.
How's it going?
Why don't you start by telling me your name?
You're pulling Dynamite. Can you bring me my chopstick?
Okay, I have to go now. You have yourself a good day, okay?
Yes.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
One of the best ones is this guy.
That's
gets
awesome.
This guy gets really mad because the manager from Office Space calls and tells him that he has to work all weekend. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
Hello?
We have sort of a problem here.
What kind of problem?
You apparently didn't put one of the new cover sheets on your TPS reports. You see, we're putting the cover sheets on all TPS reports now before they go out.
What?
I'll go ahead and make sure you get another copy of that memo. Oh, and I almost forgot. I'm going to need you to go ahead and come in tomorrow.
What the fuck? I got you that day off.
So if you could be here around 9, that would be
nine.
Great.
Nine.
We lost some people this week, and we need to sort of play catch up. Okay?
Oh, that's wrong.
Well, I'm just not sure about that right now.
Well, you better be sure that I'm not going to be coming in tomorrow.
I'm also going to need you to go ahead and come in on Sunday. Okay?
Sunday?
Yeah.
Sunday's the seventh day, man. Day of rest.
Yeah.
But look, I got to work right now, all right?
Okay, then.
All right.
That's hilarious. That was good.
This one's pretty good. Michael Jackson calls a donut shop.
Hello? How do you like the smell? Is it good?
How do I like the what?
Does it smell good enough for you in here?
If it smells good enough for me in here?
Yes.
You want to talk to someone?
Yes.
I think you have the wrong number.
No. Who's saying that?
Okay, what can I do for you?
It's Michael Jackson.
Pardon me?
It's Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson.
I can't believe you have heard of me. I'm a very popular entertainer.
Yes. Well, what can I do for you, Michael?
I'm a vegetarian, and I don't drink.
Okay, good for you.
Can I stay with you tonight?
Oh, yeah. Come on over.
So glad.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Bye-bye now.
Thanks.
That's awesome.
And we'll do... You want one more?
Sure, sure.
Here's Chris Tucker calling a skate shop.
That's going to be great. How can you not?
Hey, what's up, baby?
Not much.
Now I got some questions and I need some answers.
What do you need?
Who's this?
Who are you calling?
I'm Black and Ease.
I think you have the wrong number. Because this is Pyro Skate System. Or,
hey, wait a minute. Don't hang up. Look, you know what?
Excuse me?
What you and your old Asian gang member friends talking about these days? You know anything about a kidnapping?
Oh, I have no idea what you're talking to. This is a business, and I need to hang up.
Do you speak any English?
I speak a lot of English. Do you? Have a nice day.
Hey, baby, what's up?
Hey!
That was good.
We'll do one more. This is Michael Jackson calling the news.
It's weird because I don't really know his voice.
Talk to
him. Hello? Hi. How
do you like the smell? Is it good?
I beg your pardon?
Does it smell good enough for you in there?
Yeah, it smells great in here. Who do you want to speak to?
Jack the Ripper.
Yeah, he doesn't work here. Anybody else?
Macaulay Culkin.
Doesn't work here either. Look, who is this? What do you want?
Michael Jackson.
Oh, right. Michael Jackson. Yeah, I'm the Pope.
Michael Jackson.
Okay, Michael. What is this call concerning?
I see the face of God. I see God.
Okay, idiot, why are you calling me?
I can't believe you never heard of me. I'm a very popular entertainer.
When I was your age, I had 6 gold bricks.
Oh, I'm sure you did, Mr. Jackson. Look, do you want to get to the bottom of this phone call, or should I just hang up on you?
Well, how about this?
Actually stayed on for freaking 3.5 wow. minutes. I wonder if he really thought that was Michael Jackson.
Nah, there's no way.
You never know.
Yeah, who knows? Yeah, there's funny if you did that now. Yeah. You're dead. Oh.
When did that die?
Yeah, when did that die? That old guy from Family Guy. Oh, you cry.
Why do birds?
I got some suckers in my pocket. You can have one if you can find it.
All right, we're gonna we have a request here from girl named Michelle from Sedona.
Whoa!
Sedona, Arizona.
Oh, yeah.
Not the restaurant down the street, you asshole.
Yeah, I got you good.
Yeah.
Got you good.
This is the reason why I don't like going to restaurants with you.
Or any place for that
matter. Yeah, pretty much. But this is an old classic from a guy named Jack Ross. This is a little story called A Terry Fair.
Here is a tale to make your creche bleep. It'll give you poo skimples. It's a story for Feeboak and Biggle Toe Peep. That's wee folk and bigger people, too. It's a story about Cinderella, who lived in a big hark douse with her mean old Mepstother and her two sissy uglies. And they made Cinderella do all the wordy dirt while they sat around cheating knocklets and magging rated things. And one day when Cinderella was in the kitchen flopping the more, the two sissy uglies came in and said, "Guess what? The Prince of Hints is throwing a fancy thrust draw, and we're invited. It's too bad that you can't go." So Cinderella went back in the kitchen with ears in her ties, and she was just about to chickasee a frickin' when suddenly there was a blinding flash of light, and standing beside her was a futile berry. And Cinderella said, "Who are you, and what do you want?" And the futile berry said, "Oh, well, I'm your berry fudgutter." And Cinderella said, "Well, may I go to the ball?" And the fairy said, "Well, that's quite a wish." But she said, "Okay." So she waved her magic wand, and instantly Cinderella was transformed into a babishing Rudy. She had a long white gap and sound, and a necklace of poopies and rurals. And on her few were two tiny sass clippers. And the fairy said, "Now you may go, but you must promise to be mown by midnight." And Cinderella said, "Okay." So she was off. And soon she cast to the camel. That came to the castle. And Cinderella jumped out, and the first poop people she ran into were the two sissy uglers. And she was so beautiful, they didn't even Cinderize recognize her. So they introduced her to the Prince of Hints, and he said, "May I have this chance?" He said, "You're so beautiful, you remind me of Beep and Slooty." He was just about to ask for her mare and handage when suddenly the strock started to strike swell. And Cinderella banned from the rawl. But as she did, one of the sass clippers slipped from her soot. The Prince of Hints picked it up, and he says, "Now all I have to do is find the woman whose soot this flipper sits, and I'll know whom I've lolled and fubbed." So the next day, he went from house to house, and you can't turn that around. And soon he came to the sin where House Torella lived, and he docked on the north. And who should come to the door but the two sissy uglies? And he says, "I'm looking for the woman who sits the slipper sits." Well, of course, there were beat were too fig. But then it was Cinderella's turn, and guess what? The clipper pitted perfectly. They were married, and they have lived ever after. And that's the end of the story of Cinderella. But you see, there's a moral to this fairy tale, because Cinderella never gave up. And as you walk down the pathway of life, never give up. Christopher Columbus never gave up. Benjamin Franklin never gave up. Abraham Lincoln never gave up. Oliver Twiddledee, who's he? You see, you don't know, because he gave up. And always remember this little philosophy. You see, some of our snubbers will trawl, and some of our bubbles are trig. But if we tread had no hubbles, how could we recognize our resting?
No, funny, funny stuff. That is Terry Fail by Jack Ross here on the Rockin' Comedy Show. I am your host, Crazy Jay, where we are just minutes away from being visited by Jay White. Well, you know, one of our good friends, Rodney Carrington, is on tour again. He's got an album that came out last month called El Nino, El Loco. El Nino, what is it? El Nino Loco? Yes, that is the actual name of it. I've just never gotten around to playing anything by it. He is on tour, and if you're in the Vegas area all this week, you can catch him at the MGM Grand. But I'm going to play you the big hit off of this album that was produced by Toby Keith. Here's a song called If I'm the Only One.
Fell in love and got married back in 1993. People said you had a rocky past. It never mattered to me. You say I'm the only one, but there's pictures on our wall of you and your ex-boyfriend kissing at the mall. If I'm the only one you ever loved, how come you still talk to him? If I'm the only one you ever loved, how come our baby looks just like Tim? Just asking questions, I don't mean to pry. You got all the answers, so baby just tell me why. If I'm the only one you ever loved, whose underwear are these? If I'm the only one you ever loved, how come you got so many Mardi Gras beads? You say that I'm the only one you love. You didn't come home the other night, said you had to work late. I came by your office with some cookies I baked. I walked in and I saw him, and his hands were in your hair. Both your feet were pointed in the air. If I'm the only one you ever loved, how come your boss is all over you? If I'm the only one you ever loved, how come his pants are down around his shoes? Just asking questions, I don't mean to pry. You got all the answers, so baby just tell me why. I just need an explanation, so I can understand why when I came home last night there was a naked man running across our land. With his clothes in his hand, he ran. If I'm the only one you ever loved, how come your name's on the bathroom wall? If I'm the only one you ever loved, how come it says for a good time call? You say that I'm the only one you love, but you spent the night on 50 cents tour bus. How am I the only one you ever loved?
I'm Ellie the Mammoth, and my friend Sid the Sloth knows what being a great parent is all about.
I love kids.
It starts with believing you can do it.
I'm responsible, loving, nurturing.
You've got to set a good example.
Hey, no biting.
And give a whole lot of love.
I love you so much.
And you'll get a whole lot back, too. The rest? Well, that's up to you. Remember, you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
I've had trouble with Angel trying to finish high school. He's always struggled through even elementary. It would be frustrating because sometimes I would talk to him and he wouldn't even turn around and look at me. I would ask him, so you're going to school today, right? He would say, yeah. And then later during the day, I would get a phone call saying he wasn't in class. He dropped off for a whole month. There's a time that I just gave up. I just decided, you know what, I don't know what to do with you. I mean, I pretty much have done everything to try to get you back to school. You know, you feel that maybe you're not a good parent, or maybe you don't know how to fix the problem. I really didn't have many people to look to but myself. Now I think that it's gotten a lot better. Now I at least have hope that he'll finish high school. I can't give up. He's still my son, you know? I can't give up.
Give your teen the boost they need to graduate. Call 1-877-4A-KID or join us at boostup.org for tips and advice. Brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Joe Perry.
And Steven Tyler from Aerosmith, here for RAD. Recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. Yeah, you know we love it when the music does the talking.
And you know, the music stops when someone gets killed.
So never, 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 never let someone you know get behind the wheel if they've been drinking. So keep it real, keep it real.
keep it real.
Friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
It's Crazy Jay.
We were just having a little fun.
I thought it was toe-tapping fun.
Oh, that's too much fun.
Damn, that was fun.
Fun.
You are listening to the Rockin' Comedy Show, and joining us here on the 44th floor with Mad Mike and myself, it's Jay White.
Yeah. Hi, guys.
Hello.
And the crowd goes wild.
You know what's funny? I actually, I just saw your show yesterday. Larry G. Jones.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's right. Like, yeah, he does that. Yeah.
He does that little Neil Diamond impersonation.
Right.
Funny.
And we do mean little.
Yeah, little. Yeah. Yeah, he's all what? 4'11", something about that.
Something
yeah, he's
like
tiny guy.
Yeah.
Something like that. So Jay White performs at the Riviera as Neil Diamond.
Right. Okay.
And you're off on the weekends.
We're off on Fridays and Saturdays, yeah.
Those are great days off, let me just say.
Well, we tried Fridays and Saturdays at one point, and it just, you know, we were going to take a day or two off, and it turns out we get a lot of corporate shows and one-nighters, and they're always on Friday and Saturday.
Oh.
So this way we don't have to take those nights off for that. We're just off anyway. So,
oh,
yeah, it looks like good.
So sometimes you might work six, seven days.
Some days, yeah, some weeks, yeah.
Whoa.
Now you have, over the Riviera, you have the Barbara and Frank show.
Right, they're right after me at about 8:30 their show starts.
Does the Barbara Streisand impersonator ever come in for your show to do...
She doesn't, for the most part, when I'm there, no. We have worked together on occasion where she's coming, you know, done the Barbara Streisand. We do the duet, the You Don't Bring Me Flowers duet, which is a lot of fun. But, yeah, I've known her for a number of years, and we get to work occasionally.
I thought that was interesting. I just found out about that song that when it first came out, Neil recorded it, and then she recorded it, and it wasn't until a DJ actually played the two songs together.
Exactly. Yeah, they had both put the song individually on their own albums that year in 1979, and a radio DJ, I guess, was in Cleveland because they were both sung in the same key. He went into the studio and spliced them together and just kind of had made a duet out of it. And people from all over the city started calling in and saying, hey, where can I get that record? And he said, well, you can't. I made it up. So then Barbara Neal heard about it and said, well, we better go back in and re-record that song. So, yeah.
That's actually really cool when you have ideas like that.
Yeah, it's cool.
That must have been how, like, the peanut butter...
chocolate.
And I was thinking, like, the peanut butter jelly M&M, you know, they just made. Somebody was probably like, you already have peanut butter. Why don't you just add a little jelly?
Exactly.
You do it all the time.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, it's brilliant.
So how long have you been portraying Neil Diamond?
Actually, I'm in my 26th year. I've been 19 of those years here in Las Vegas.
Does Neil Diamond know about this?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he and I have met a couple of times at the MGM Grand after or right before one of his concerts here in Vegas. And the first time we met, we took a picture together, and then he signed it for me. And he wrote, Jay, keep singing so I can stay home and relax. I thought that was great.
Has he ever done your show as Neil Diamond as Jay White?
No, not yet. Not yet, but I'm hoping maybe one of these days he'll pop in and we can do that.
That would be really cool. Yeah. That would have shocked the audience, you know?
Yeah.
I had a lady, as you know, Mike and I were concierges at the Monte Carlo, and I had a lady come in. She bought,
not good ones, though.
No, we're mediocre.
Per our manager.
We're mediocre at the best.
Yeah.
But we had a lady come in, and she wanted some. She was buying tickets to Neil Diamond at the Riviera. She said, 13 tickets to Neil Diamond at the Riviera. I go, well, you do realize that that's Jay White. She goes, no, it's Neil Diamond. I go, no, it's Jay White as Neil Diamond. And she was pretty convinced that she wasn't going to go.
Yeah.
Because she wanted the real thing. And I go, he's actually really good. And she goes, how good? I go, he's better than the real deal. She actually ended up going and coming back the next day and thanking me that she actually went.
Yeah.
She had a really good time.
That's good, yeah.
I have to say, and when we do send people to your show, I've never had one person come back and be like, that dude sucked. They always come back and they're like, wow, thanks.
Yeah,
thanks for helping us out because that was a great show to go see.
You know, it's
a
lot of fun.
Carrot Top guy.
We try to to get the audience to interact a little bit. You know, it's not just I go up and sing songs and then I walk off the stage. You know, we inject a little bit of humor and things that people can relate to, and we get them singing and swaying and clapping and, you know, singing along with Sweet Caroline, and it's a lot of fun. It turns out to be a good time.
One of the most embarrassing times for me ever was I went to my first Neil Diamond concert with my mom, and she was up dancing and screaming and hooting and hollering. I was like, Mom, sit down. You're making a fool of yourself.
But most of the women in the arena were doing the same thing she was doing.
Right, I didn't care about that. That's not my mom.
Right.
She was ready to throw her panties up there if I would have let her. But thank
so you have a lot of audience interactivity?
We try to do that. Yeah, like I said.
Board breaking or?
What's that?
Board breaking.
Board breaking? Or, yeah. No. Like no that? No karate. No board breaking. Yeah.
Was Neil Diamond big into that stuff?
Or? No, he's a motorcycle kind of guy.
Really?
He rides Harleys. That's his hobby, yeah.
My mom's got a Harley. She rides it. She's 90 pounds, rides a giant night train Harley Davidson.
Oh, you're kidding. Wow.
Figure that out. Yeah. I can't. It defies gravity.
Yeah.
It's physics impossibility.
Yeah.
So now, are you sticking still? I know that your mainstream of the show is pretty much there's one era that you're strictly doing. Are you doing anything new? You've got the new album out, or
no? You know, the new album, unfortunately, for whatever reason, does not get any airplay on the radio. So consequently, people never get a chance to hear the songs off his new album, and then they're not really familiar with it. So for me to do one of the new songs, which you know it might be nice to do, but the audience would just have no frame of reference for it at all. They're there to hear the hits from the '60s, the '70s, and the '80s, and so that's what we give them.
He's had that many hits. I mean, I honestly, I'm not going to lie. I really don't know a lot about Neil Diamond.
Dude, the dude's been around a while.
Yeah, well.
Songwriter. Other people have had hits because of his song.
I know he does. He's been, a song about America.
Yeah,
which is the theme song to the America's Funniest Videos, right?
No, he's been around for 43 years and had his first hit in 1966, Solitary Man and Cherry Cherry. And the first hit that he actually had before his own recorded hit, was he wrote the song I'm a Believer that the Monkees recorded.
Wow, really?
And that was also at the end of the movie Shrek, where Smash Mouth re-recorded it, and they did their version of it. So, yeah.
That's a pretty cool song.
Yeah.
Monkees were awesome. I love the Monkees.
Yeah. I think you just like Monkees. I don't think you realize it's a group.
Yeah, I like both. I used to watch your TV show. They had a TV show.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, I understand you're working on a musical.
Well, I've spent several years writing a large a stage production show using Neil's songs, maybe telling his story. Possibly, we've got a couple of different scenarios of how to do the story, but definitely using his material and singers, dancers, backdrops, stage sets, just the whole ball of wax. I mean, a very, very big production show.
So it's like a theme, basically following his lyrical.
Using his music to tell a story. Yeah, exactly.
Sort of like Across the Universe.
I haven't seen that, but it might be. I mean, it's kind of a cross between what Celine Dion was doing, minus the Cirque du Soleil people. I mean, she had a lot of stage production value in singers and dancers, so it's kind of a cross between that and a Barry Manilow concert type of a thing. Yeah, kind of a blending of the two. So yeah.
Has Barry Manilow ever come to your concert?
No, never met Barry. Yeah. No.
It's probably a good thing. You never know. Yeah.
People are like, when's Barry Manilow in town? We're like, he's out of town more than he is in town.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah, he really is.
I was really surprised. We were selling tickets for Beyonce through Vegas.com, and our most expensive ticket's $1,100.
Oh, my God. people are only going to pay $1,000 for mine, so they're going to get a real break with if they come and see our show. Holy cow.
I was like, what do you get for $1,100? Yeah. Do you at least get a drink with that?
I better be able to touch something. You know? Better, I don't know.
maybe a bar of gold or something they get through that.
Yeah, complimentary.
I'm going to get something out of it.
A commemorative gold piece.
Yeah. Something, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, I did want to mention, too, real quick, that... there was a movie that just came out just a few months ago called Frost and Nixon, and it's about the interviews that David Frost did with Richard Nixon.
That's a good movie.
Yeah, back in 1977. Well, it turned out that they needed Ron Howard is the director for that film, and they needed for one scene in the movie they needed somebody who looks and sings like Neil Diamond. So they had, I guess, a couple few people audition, one of which was me, and I got the part. So I got to actually be in the movie.
I thought that was you. I was going to bring that up.
That's awesome.
So that was a lot of fun.
Now, do you know Brendan Paul?
I do know Brendan. Yeah, yeah.
He's a big fan of the show.
He does a great job. Yeah.
He's Elvis. He runs the Graceland Wedding Chapel and all that.
Okay, not the fat Elvis that walks the street.
No.
No. Okay.
No. And he's not the fat Elvis that sings at Bill's Gambling Hall.
I love that guy. I just want to do. Oh, here's a donut. Enjoy that. It's for you. Put it in your mouth.
Put it in your mouth. Is there a particular, because you do Neil Diamond so much, is there just a particular song you just can't stand doing. Because
like
I asked that so often, you know?
I asked that
to Brendan Paul.
Right.
His answer was Viva Las Vegas.
Oh, really? Yeah.
You can't stand that.
You can't stand doing it. Yeah. You know, I honestly, what was nice was I became a Neil Diamond fan first before I started doing this.
Oh.
So I was a fan of the music. I liked what he did. I liked his presentation. I liked the lyrics of the songs. I saw him in concert a couple of times back in the late 70s, early 80s, and just thought it was the best concert I'd ever been to. So really, no, there's no songs I don't enjoy singing. I'm still a fan of the music first and enjoy performing the songs.
Do you change up the show at all? Is it different? Do you do the same songs?
We do change it periodically. I mean, the Riviera gives us about an hour and 15-minute show to do. And so Neil's got a large enough catalog of tunes that we can pull out three or four or five songs and put in three or four or five different ones from time to time. The problem is no matter what you take out, invariably somebody will come up to me, you know, after the show one night and go, gee, you know, you didn't do September Morn. And I said, oh, well, we just did that a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, because there's certain ones, you can't get them all in in an hour and 15 minutes. He's just got too much material.
No, I'm sure the ones that are like stapled in there. Like
yeah, you have to do them, right, yeah.
Like Sweet Caroline
and America and Love in the Rocks and Crackin' Rosie and Cherry and Brother Love's Traveling Salvation Show, I Am I Said, you know, all of those tunes. So, yeah,
you have to do them
every night, yeah. Otherwise, people would be disappointed.
How many times do you think you've sung Sweet Caroline?
Boy, you know, I try to approximate how many shows I've done.
Yeah, let's do
and,
that one. Let's
and
do that.
Because I started out in 1983, back in Detroit, Michigan, performed for about 7 years there, then came to Vegas at the end of 89 and joined the Legends in Concert Show.
Oh,
and
do you know Gene Cerronin?
Oh, I do, yeah.
He's a very good performer,
yeah.
Yeah, him and Heidi, they're great.
They're great,
people.
Yep. And so I was with Legends for about 9 years. And they did two shows a night, so I was there two shows a night for 9 years. And then I've been doing my own show at the Riviera for about 8 years, and we've been doing one show, you know, 5 nights a week. So I added them all up, and it comes to, I guess, a little over 8,000 shows that I've done in the last 25 years. So.
Wow. As Neil Diamond.
As Neil Diamond, every one of them.
I think it's more than Neil Diamond has done as Neil Diamond.
I think it probably is, because, yeah, when he goes on tour, he does... Well, I don't know. He'll tour for a whole year, but he doesn't do a show every night. So
no.
He does maybe 200 shows out of 365 days, and so he's done 200 shows on every tour, maybe, you know, and obviously you know, a couple few dozen tours. But yeah, you're right. He probably hasn't performed as many as me.
Yeah, he probably knows songs better.
Yeah,
that's crazy. Well, we're gonna take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have more with Jay White, and we'll be back after this.
Jen, I have something to tell you. Yesterday, I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder.
How about a slice? Let's hit the food court.
Jen, I have something to tell you. Yesterday, I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder.
Well, we could just go see the 740 movie instead of the 645.
Jen, I have something to tell you. Yesterday, I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder.
You just need some new earrings and you'll feel a lot better.
When a friend tells you they've been diagnosed with a mental illness, it can be a little awkward. But what's even more awkward is, if you're not there for her, she'll be less likely to recover.
Jen, I have something to tell you. Yesterday, I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder.
Girl, I am here for you. Whatever it takes.
Mental illness. What a difference a friend makes. For more information on how to help a friend dealing with mental illness, go to whatadifference.org. This message is brought to you by the Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
In times like these, violence in our schools is a reality. So it's important to know how to prevent such tragedies from happening. Talk to your kids. Explain to them the dangers of weapons at school. And tell them that if they see a student with a weapon or even hear someone talking about having one, they need to report it immediately. Tell them if something doesn't look right or seem right to you, speak up. Get to know who your child is spending time with and where they are at all times. If you notice that your child has sudden mood or behavior changes, or seems to always be angry or sad, talk to a teacher, administrator, or medical professional. Be a role model for them and settle your own conflicts without resorting to violence. School should be a safe place for our children. We all need to work together to keep it that way. Let's put an end to these tragedies. Ask your school to adopt an anti-violence program. Visit ncpc.org to learn more on how to keep our children safe. That's ncpc.org.
A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
Hello, car of teenagers. If you don't mind, I'm only going to broadcast this out of the speaker on the passenger side so we can talk without the driver listening in. Okay, now that we're alone, we can talk about your friend's driving. It's okay, he can't hear us. Now, I'd never say this to his face, but he might be the worst driver in the history of the world. You should say something, something witty. Make a joke about the airbag or something. Hearses are funny, too. You could make a joke about hearses. I better say something to the driver real quick so he doesn't get suspicious that we're talking about him. Still talking to the passenger. Not about you at all. Just going to be one more minute. He is totally going to get you killed.
Find other interesting ways to speak up against reckless driving by visiting our website at speakuporelse.com. Because it doesn't matter what you say, just say something. Brought to you by the Ad Council and speakuporelse.com.
I'm Ellie the Mammoth, and my friend Sid the Sloth
knows what being a great parent is all about.
I love kids.
It starts with believing you can do it.
I'm responsible, loving, nurturing.
You've got to set a good example.
Hey, no biting. Uh-uh.
And give a whole lot of love.
I love you so much.
And you'll get a whole lot back, too. The rest? Well, that's up to you. Remember, you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
It's Crazy Jay.
What a dumb thing to do.
I feel like I'm getting dumber by the minute.
Mom, am I dumb?
Sometimes I think you're not as dumb as I think you are.
Comedy show. We're on the 44th floor with Jay White. Yay!
No, I once farted and it sounded like Pee Wee Herman. I thought I could take that on the road, but I could never make that sound again. It was like a one-time, one-shot deal. Done.
Nice.
Yeah.
Now, your drummer, isn't he in a Kiss tribute band?
And the two guitar players are.
Yeah. No, I thought somebody was in your band.
Yeah. We've got the bass guitar player and then the electric guitar player. They play in a Kiss tribute band. They play in a couple of other bands. They've got an original recording a group as well that they've written and recorded some of their own songs. So they keep real busy, those two guys. And
what
then
do they call themselves? Smooch?
You know, they're called, I forget. I don't remember now. I can't remember.
Now, didn't you have somebody in your band that actually played with Neil?
We've got a guy that plays with us occasionally. He's been with Neil He's played on every album and every concert tour that Neil has done since 1974 is when he joined Neil's band. Wow. And he lives here in Vegas. His name's King Arison. And King plays percussion.
What a
so
cool
he
name.
Plays congas and just timbales and everything else percussive. And he's played with us at the Riviera several times. He just went out of town with us to some of the out-of-town shows we did. We did two shows in California and one in Salt Lake City just over the last month, and he played those with us. As a matter of fact, the one in Salt Lake City, it's a yearly event that they put on. It's an outdoor concert in the park, and it's free. And they usually expect about 8,000 to 10,000 people show up.
Wow.
For whatever act is going to be there on that Saturday night. And so they asked us to go there. We did the show last year in 08. And so it went so well, they got about 8,000 to 10,000 people. So they said, you know, come back next year in 09. We want you to do it again. So we went back there in June, at the end of June, and did the show for them. 18,000 people showed up for this thing. And it was just me and the band, and we added a 35-piece orchestra to my band. And we played it straight 2 hours all the way through a Neil Diamond concert.
Wow.
And they were just screaming and going nuts. And then at the end, we finished with America. And they blew off fireworks, you know, during America at the very end.
Cool.
So that was
that's
very cool, yeah.
It kind of frightens me. I know this much about him. It's like I'm stalking him, and I don't mean to.
Now, that's actually a really interesting question. Now, you're used to playing with, obviously, you've got a band.
Right.
But when you add, like, a 35-piece band, that's like adding, like, 20 extra nuggets to your McNugget meal.
Exactly.
You know, what do you do with it all? Yeah. I mean, does it throw you off?
No, not
you're,
at all.
You just were able to swing right into it because you already know their parts?
Well, yeah, we give them charts. So they all have charts to read. And then of course the band knows all the material, so the orchestra kind of follows the band and the drummer, you know.
Okay.
What I mean? And so it works out real well though. Yeah.
I think that would make me nervous. You know.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. We enjoy it.
Well, when did you decide that you could actually be Neil Diamond? Did it just happen, or somebody say, "Hey, you look and sound like Neil Diamond"?
Yeah, back in the early '80s, I was a lead singer in a top 40 band, and I also—that's
how it all started. Yeah. Larry Jones was in a band.
Yeah,
it's funny.
And I was in an a cappella group for a while. We used to sing stuff from the late '50s and early '60s, "Blue Moon" and "Ramalama Ding Dong" and songs like that. A cappella. And so between those two groups, people would come up to me periodically and say, you know, did anybody ever tell you you sound a lot like Neil Diamond? Well, at the time I had a mustache, I had short hair, and I thought, geez, you know, I wonder if I shaved off the mustache and styled the hair like his, I wonder if there'd be a physical resemblance. And sure enough, there was. And then in 83, when the tribute show started in Detroit, I went and auditioned for that. They hired me, and 6 months later I quit my day job, and I haven't done anything else since. So...
And what did you do?
I was selling insurance. I did that for about a year, life insurance, which I did not enjoy. And then I was a manager of a big boy restaurant for about a year, which I did not really enjoy that either. So I'm kind of glad the singing thing worked out.
Yeah.
And thank God Neil Diamond has a lot of hits.
Thank God for me. Yeah, exactly.
Thank God he's still going. Although the last concert, I saw him in January at the MGM.
Right.
He did a lot more talking through his songs now. I think he just got over a throat surgery was going on.
Really? Yeah, he's 68 years old now, so he's not a spring chicken anymore, at least,
right.
Anyway. And he's all these years in. I know for several decades he was a smoker, so I'm sure that didn't help a whole lot, although I believe he's quit doing that just over the last 5 years or so. But, you know, it gets a little harder as you get a little older. But
I do have to say that was a pretty badass concert. He went out and did... I think it was Sweet Caroline, and he just stopped right in the middle, and just the whole arena just singing that song. He just stood there like he was taking it in. Like, this is the coolest thing ever.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you have billions of fans all singing your song. That's a pretty big deal.
It's a lot of fun. Yep, great songs.
Now, obviously, there's other Neil Diamond tribute bands out
there.
And that was kind of made fun of in the movie Saving...
Silverman, yeah.
Yeah, Saving Silverman.
Right.
And he actually was in that, but...
Yeah.
That's funny.
But is there we asked you what song you get tired of playing. You said none, but what is your all-time favorite?
Well, I think the ones I enjoy the most are the ones that the audience seems to enjoy the most, because they're fans like me, too. So it would be songs like Sweet Caroline. America, we usually save that to the very end, and that's kind of, it seems like that's kind of what the audience is waiting for, is they really want to hear that one.
Yeah.
So that's fun. And Forever in Blue Jeans, we usually get everybody kind of up and clapping and involved, and so that can be a lot of fun, too. Yeah.
Yeah, when I was little, I always used to thought he was saying a reverend in blue jeans.
But you know, and you're not the only one. A lot of people thought it was the Reverend Blue Jeans. Yeah, exactly.
That's good.
Now, he wrote a couple of obscure songs that I've stumbled across. So maybe you can give us a little insight on, because I swore up and down to my mom that he did drugs. Because he did, you know, he did songs like the Pot Smoker song.
Right, and nobody's really familiar with that. Yeah.
That is and I go, Mom, if he didn't, I mean, even the name of the album would be like a drug reference, Velvet Gloves and Spit.
Yeah.
Was like, it was so obscure.
Yeah, I thought that too.
That was really the only song I ever played off that album. And she's like, you know, there's like 11 other tracks. I'm like, they're not as good as this. And he did songs like You're So Sweet, Horseflies Keep Hanging Around Your Face.
You know, I've done that a couple of times in shows, live shows, where there was a large crowd just for fun to see how they'd react.
Were and they like, what the hell?
Well, you know, they seem to get a kick out of it.
Because
so,
I did.
Because the lyrics are so odd and unusual, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if I would want to tantalize a woman with that one. Hold on 1 second, baby. I gotta turn on some tunes for you.
Here comes. Yeah. You're so sweet. Horseflies keep hanging around your face. Kentucky moonshine could never take your place. And your eyes could give me goosebumps down to my toes. Feel like the only rooster in the hen house. I guess it shows.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Still not as crazy as Porky Pine Pie.
That's a little odd, too. Yeah.
Yeah, really weird.
I could throw them all out there.
Yeah.
I used to just play strictly comedy songs on my show years ago. And my mom was like, why do you play those?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, Mom. He smoked some pot, Mom. I'm telling you, he did. Is it true his real name is Noah Kaminsky?
No. What he was doing was when he was first breaking into the music business and he had his first hit record that he recorded, it was Solitary Man, and the record company, he told the record company, he said, you know, I think Neil Diamond just sounds too plain and boring and I don't want to use that. I'm going to come up with a different name. Because a lot of people back in the 60s and 50s, they were using other names.
Yeah.
They weren't using their own real name. So he started thinking about it and it came down to two names that he was thinking about. It was either going to be Noah Kaminsky
or
Ice Cherry.
Ice Cherry,
yeah. And so he thought about those two for a little bit, and then at one point, one of the interviews that he gave, he said, you know, when I thought about it, I thought, how am I going to explain this to my grandmother? She'll never understand why I'm Ice Cherry or Noah Kaminsky. So he said, you know what, just leave it Neil Diamond for now, and if I change it later, we'll go from there. But he never changed it back.
Yeah, it goes.
That's how one. I knew, because I did History of Rock, and I was like,
right.
Mom, I think his real name is Noah Kaminsky. And she goes, it is not. Like, she just wouldn't give in. But
yeah.
Well, she was right. Yeah.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
But the name was still there. So
nobody got an F.
I love that class, actually. That was probably the best class I ever did. They're like, you have to take a history class to complete your radio course. I'm like, I don't want to do history.
Have you ever thought of like, wow, I'm glad I didn't wind up sounding like Stevie Wonder or something. Then I really have nothing to go with.
I have thought. I thought about that. The fact that I thought I'm glad I don't sound like Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
Because I don't like his songs. I don't like his music. And I don't like his voice. And so thank God I didn't sound like
that.
What
a show that would be, huh?
You know, they're going to be doing an Elvis search show. I'm thinking that pretty soon there's going to be a Neil Diamond search show.
You know, I think everything is eventually going to be Cirque in this town. Nothing is going to be allowed on the strip unless you can add Cirque du Soleil people to it.
I had this genius idea. Gather up the bums and have like a bum Cirque show.
There you go.
They could swing off a shopping cart.
Yep.
Flips. And then they could just panhandle for change, you know,
people,
the ones that are out there.
People would pay to see that, I'm sure. Yeah.
They really would.
Well, I can't believe they spend $200 to see O. Not that it's not a great show, but they think that's the only show in town. I have to see O.
Yeah.
It's only got a letter. One letter.
And,
they've
seen it before.
Two or
three times.
Right,
like, it's the same show.
Yeah, and it is a wonderful show, but I agree. I don't think any show really should cost $200 to go see it. Yeah.
And speaking of that, how much is your show?
$9. No.
What
no.
a deal. Okay, $10.
No, our show, our regular ticket price, general admission price is $59.
That's good.
And then there are places in town where people can get discounts, 2-for-1 tickets and things like that. So, yeah.
So if they were to hunt for it.
If they were look around.
If they were bargain basement shoppers.
Yep, they could find a 2-for-1 ticket in town, sure.
They could do it.
Yeah. So we try to keep the prices reasonable for everybody. Tough economic times right now, so.
Do you think they could just, like, put their ear to the wall and be like,
they could do that if they wanted. Yeah,
it's yeah, not the same. Your showroom's kind of right around a bar area, so the people that you know are sitting at the bar, I know they can hear it.
Well, we've got glass that separates the bar from the showroom itself. But yes, I mean the sound certainly bleeds through the glass enough that people sitting out there can hear it to some degree. It's not the same as, of course, experiencing it inside the room itself. But yeah, it can be heard from just outside.
Have you ever walked out onto the showroom looking like somebody else just to see, like, the audience's reaction at first?
How do you mean, looking like?
Like, what if you were to walk out looking like Elvis?
Oh, yeah, no. I don't do that, no.
Were you, like, were you starstruck when you first met Neil? Like,
Did he come to see you, or did you get invited to go backstage
at the MGM before his concert several years ago, about 10 years ago, and so I suppose I was a little starstruck. I mean, I had thought about in advance, you know, what do I want to ask him, what do I want to say to him, because I know I'd only have a few minutes. But it was before his concert, so we had about 5 minutes together, and then he had to. You know, he was already dressed in his costume, but the concert was getting ready to start. The second time we met was kind of neat because we were talking backstage, and they had a video camera pointed at us. And I kind of noticed it, but I didn't notice it. You know what I mean? I was kind of focused on talking to him and meeting him again. And then when I left, it kind of didn't register until somebody called me about 6 months later and said, Jay, I just bought Neil Diamond's new box set. There's a box set called Stages, and it has about 5 CDs in it and 1 DVD video. And so she said, I just watched the video, and you're on it.
Oh,
and I
wow.
said, you got to be kidding me. She said, no, you are on it. I said, really? And I went out and bought it and took it home and played it and watched it, and that meeting backstage that we had at the MGM was videotaped, and that was one of the clips that they put onto his DVD. And so I was very flattered by the fact that they thought enough of me to put that on there. When we took a picture, he kind of put his arm around me, and we took a photo together, and then nobody can see this because we're on radio, obviously, but he took another picture, and then he went like this. And kind of put his hands out to kind of acknowledge me, you know, and say, hey, he looks like me, you know. And so, yeah, it was kind of nice.
I don't know. I think if I was a celebrity and, you know, there was somebody out there impersonating me, I think that'd be kind of an honor. But I know there's some people that don't like it.
There probably are some people that don't care. And it depends on who's doing the tribute or the impersonation, you know.
Well, I know, like, Frank.
How good they are.
What's his name? Yeah. Frank Marino that did Joan Rivers.
Right.
She pretty much told him he couldn't use the catchphrase, can we talk?
Okay.
Like, she was like. No, that's mine.
Yeah.
She didn't like it, but
yeah, some people don't care for it. I think if you do a good job, you know, then the hopefully the artist will appreciate it. And like I said, Neil's always been good to me, and even on the video that we took together, the last thing he said to me was keep up the good work. So he does appreciate.
Well, how did he hear about you? Just because of all the work you do in Vegas, or did somebody say you have to go check this guy out?
Well, I think he had heard about me originally through some of the Neil fans, that somebody sent him a picture of me or an old video or something of me. And then what happened after that was his mom had heard about me performing in Las Vegas when I was with Legends. And so I got a call in the middle of the afternoon from Legends in Concert office. And the secretary said, Jay, I've got a woman on the other line, says she's Neil Diamond's mother, and she wants to come and see you in our show tonight. And I said, come on, who is it really? She said, no, she said she's Neil's mother. I said, okay. So she connected us, and I started talking to the woman. Now, of course, I'm thinking there's no way Neil's mom is going to be calling me to come see the show. And I'm thinking, this has got to be some friend from back east going, hi, this is Neil's mother. You know,
yeah, right.
But it wasn't. I had somebody come down to the showroom that night and identify for me, because they had met her before and I had never met the woman. I didn't know what she looked like. So a friend of mine came down and said, that's Neil's mom, absolutely. So we talked for a few minutes, and the thing is that what she did was she went and saw the show, and she came out of the showroom, and I was waiting to greet her after she came out, and she put her hands up to her face over her mouth and said, oh my God, you're exactly like my son on stage. And I thought, well, that's probably the best compliment I could get right there.
Yeah.
So,
that's like better than meeting the celebrity. Meeting the celebrity's mom.
Well, you know, I thought if anybody was going to object to what I do more than
her?
More than Neil, it would be his mother.
Yeah, or because, dog.
Or one of the two.
Yeah.
And but she was very, very complimentary. And I got to meet her about 3 or 4 times after that. I met her at the Forum in L.A. again when I was at a Neil concert. She was about 15 rows up behind me, and I heard her calling my name before the show started.
What,
so I
Neil?
Went up. She said Jay. She called Jay. And I went up and said hi to her, and then met Neil's brother, because Neil has one younger brother.
Uh-huh. And do so you look like him at all?
Well, the funny thing was when I shook hands with Neil's brother, he shook hands with me and he said, I feel like I'm meeting a long lost brother.
Oh, wow.
And I thought that was kind of nice.
That'd
so,
be really cool.
So they've been great.
Awesome. Well, it's what can you say? It's Neil Diamond right here on the
Neil
44th
Diamond.
Floor.
He's here. It's on.
It is.
The air.
So you guys should check him out. Come to Vegas, buy, you know, get some tickets, go see
from
the
us.
Show.
We're there Sunday through Thursday. The show's at 7 o'clock, and
at the Riv, right?
At the Riviera, and then we're off Fridays and Saturdays. So if you're coming out on the weekends, try and catch us on Thursday or Sunday.
Do you have a Facebook, MySpace?
You know, we're in the process. I don't have a Facebook or MySpace. I'm not kind of a much of a computer guy, but we do have a website. I can tell you what it is, but it's under construction right now. We're having a brand new website done as we speak, and so that should be done, I'm thinking, within the next couple of weeks. probably by the middle of August. But it's AmericasDiamondLive.com. And people go there in a couple of weeks. They'll see a new site, some video stuff, and yeah, it'll be fun.
Well, guys, is the website address changing at all? Or
no, I don't think so. It should stay AmericasDiamondLive.com as far as I know, yeah.
AmericasDiamondLive.com.
Yeah. You had a contest or something a while back where you were asking people to name the show?
I was the production show, yeah, the big like the Broadway musical that we've written, and I came up with about four different names, and then I asked people at the Riviera, I put papers on the tables,
right,
and asked them to vote on which name they liked the best. And oddly enough, out of the four names that I had picked, it turned out that there was, after about 300 votes, there was less than five votes between any of them. I was like, one was, you know, 92 votes, and one was 87 votes, and one was 90 votes. I mean, they were all like, all had about the same number of votes almost, and so it made it almost impossible. But I think we've kind of narrowed it down, and we're looking at Brooklyn Rhodes, R-O-A-D-S, Rhodes, because it's about a kid from Brooklyn who made it good and made it big in America, and that's where he's from, is Brooklyn. So, and that's one of his song titles as well.
I would have called it BAM! So I like that better.
That's kind of, yeah, it's catchy. I like that. Yeah.
You do.
Yeah,
too, yeah. Well, we'll end this interview with a song from his new album. I think it's probably one of the best songs he's written in a really long time.
Yeah.
If I don't see you again.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
That song is really good. So I want to thank you for being here, man.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Yeah.
If I don't see you again, it was a hell of a ride. Don't need to say let's be friends. Don't need to promise you'll write. We rode that train through the night and never cared where it went. If I don't see you again, if I don't see you again, we ran a whole other race. Two strangers meet on the road and find their time and their place. We never once had to lie. We passed the age of consent. If I don't see you again, I know it's crazy out there. I hate it sleeping around. I went out looking for love, never liked what I found. Don't pay to make it alone. God knows it's lonely out there. I made it once on my own. Hardly anyone cared. If I don't see you again, who you gonna run to, baby? Who you gonna hide behind when the nights get suddenly cold? Who's gonna hold you? Who's gonna know? Who will you go to? Who you gonna call if it ain't me? When you're feeling lost and there's nobody out there looking for you, what will you do? Where will you go? If I don't see you again, if I don't see you again, you made it happen somehow. I think I gave up on life, but I feel better right now. Something you said turned me around. Don't even know what you meant. If I don't see you again, and at the end of the day, I hated sleeping alone. There's nothing worse when you're lost and you don't wanna go home. It's gonna work out some way. I just don't wanna be found. I'm waiting here on the bend, and I'll be hanging around if I don't see you again. can't even get through an hour without you. Should be ashamed. Just wanna hear you calling my name. Two of us missed connections. Guess we must have somehow missed something more. 'Cause we're here alone. I'd know we're together, but too far apart to know how to get back home. It's time to say goodbye, 'cause if I stay for too long, you'd get to know me too well and find that something's wrong. The time is perfect to go before the curtain descends. Right now, and both of us know that everything's got to end if I don't see you again. What's it gonna come to, baby? Who you gonna hide behind when the nights get filled up with doom? Looking to run, you run out of room. And will you be the one to save me? Doesn't look like the future is clear, and need you to hear me playing tune. When nobody hears me, I end up playing to the moon. Time to say goodbye, 'cause if I stayed for too long, you'd get to know me too well and find that something was wrong. The time is perfect to go before the curtain descends. Right now, and both of us know that everything's got to end if I don't see you. Somehow we both made it through. I would have gave up on life before I gave up on you. You went and turned me around. Could be with something you said. I couldn't make out the sound. I didn't care what it meant. If I don't see you again, if I don't see you again, if I don't see you again,
I've had trouble with Angel trying to finish high school. He's always struggled through even elementary. It would be frustrating because sometimes I would talk to him and he wouldn't even turn around and look at me. I would ask him, so you're going to school today, right? He would say, yeah. And then later during the day, I would get a phone call saying he wasn't in class. He dropped off for a whole month. There's a time that I just gave up. I just decided, you know what, I don't know what to do with you. I mean, I pretty much have done everything to try to get you back to school. You know, you feel that maybe you're not a good parent, or maybe you don't know how to fix the problem. I really didn't have many people to look to but myself. Now I think that it's gotten a lot better. Now I at least have hope that he'll finish high school. I can't give up. He's still my son, you know. I can't give up.
Give your teen the boost they need to graduate. Call 1-877-4A-KID or join us at boostup.org for tips and advice. Brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Paul McCartney on behalf of RAD. If you're drinking, you can't drive my car or any car. And remember, don't drink and drive. It's just not worth it.
A
public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
It's Crazy Jay.
Very funny.
That's a funny word.
Funny.
And that's funny what?
Very funny.
That's funny.
On the comedy show, this is Mad Mike with Crazy Jay. And we have a caller on the phone. This is, who is this?
This is Michael from Arizona.
A-Z.
A-Z. Nice and hot.
Nice and, well, it's probably just about as hot as it is here.
Oh. Yeah, about the same, but probably at about, I don't know. I don't know how much more humidity level. Humidity sucks.
Is it raining over there right now?
Not right now, but a few days ago it was.
Yeah? When it was raining, did the rain taste funny? Because I farted when it was over on this side. And it was so. I wasn't sure if it would carry it that way or not.
Are you eating a pickle?
No, no pickles.
Why not? You're supposed to eat a pickle.
Well, all my pickles are at work.
You keep your, oh, what type do you munch on?
Me? I like the dill.
You're a dill? Everybody's dill. Am I the only sweet?
You're the only sweet. I told you. It's the worst pickle. It's like the retard of pickles.
The sweet?
The sweet.
Talk about their dill.
Nobody likes the sweet.
They're compact?
No, nobody
Dude,
likes those.
Sweet is nasty.
Yeah. What? Yeah, those are gross. That's why I never let you in here until they're done. Until you're done eating them. They're gross.
You guys are blasphemous, you know that? You're going to go to pickle hell.
Nice. So, you've been listening to the show for a while?
Yes.
And what do you think? Should we stop?
I like a lot. I mean, of all the different podcast shows out there, this one's probably by far the best. I haven't found another of the comedy shows that actually kept my interest longer than me at 5-10 minutes.
Seriously, if you don't like it, you just tell us to stop.
Yeah.
I'm looking for an excuse to get out.
I think Mad Mike and his sweet pickles enough to get out.
Yeah, I was almost ready to quit this thing, and then he comes along, and now I'm stuck again.
He's barring the door.
Yeah.
You like Stephen Lynch's stuff, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's your favorite?
Of his songs? I mean, the one that always keeps popping in my mind is that one about the Double D Tatas.
The what?
One of the things about the girl, but he keeps thinking about her boobs.
What song is that? Okay.
Which one is that?
Sings about her boobs.
I think it's Stephen Lynch. I could be wrong, but...
Sings about her boobs.
He
oh, you mean Hallelujah?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good song.
We keep meaning to make you a copy of that. Have you heard the new Weird Al Yankovic song?
The Craigslist?
No, the Skipper Dan.
No.
It's on the most current show that we just did.
So, yeah.
When did you...
We just released it.
I tried checking up last Monday, but you did a old show. You put an old show up.
Yeah, well, you know, some of us need a day off.
Well, just because your birthday and...
yeah, and I was out tearing up the town.
And drinking too much pickle juice and getting sick.
We didn't drink. You know, we were drinking, eating pickles.
Yeah. We were getting crunk up in this piece.
No, the new show was up yesterday.
Oh.
But you don't go to work till tomorrow, right? Or
yeah, I mean, I only listen at work. I mean, I got stuff to do at home.
So, What's your favorite part about the show?
Favorite part? I like 911. I liked it when you used to do the Crazy 8.
Oh.
A lot of real good music back then on those ones. Those are probably my two favorite parts.
Might have to bring that back. Okay, maybe I won't. That's fine. Fuck you.
Screw you up, man. It sucks.
I was throwing it out there for you to go, yeah, it's great, bring it back, but you know, fine.
Yeah. Just drop it. Like
yeah, forget about it. You'll never hear the Crazy 8 again, you son of a bitch.
It's going to be called the Fuck Off Mike 3.
That's right. Yeah. It's going to be the top 8 songs about pickles.
Yeah.
And they're all going to be sung by Mike.
Yeah. That's hell.
I don't think that'll last too long.
Yeah, well, it's a good way to get the hell out of here because our listeners will stop.
Seriously.
So you like the Crazy Eight, you like Stephen Lynch.
Mm-hmm.
And Weird Al, actually. You like Weird Al, too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, who doesn't, really?
Dude, man, Weird Al's the man.
Yeah. He really disgusts himself.
Yeah. Why did I write such a piece of crap song?
Yeah.
Why did I get a Grammy? Why? Why?
Yeah. Probably, like, breaks every mirror in his house.
So
when he comes to town, we'll let you know, man. We'll get you down here.
Cool.
That would be a lot of fun. Maybe we'll make it like a whole big group outing.
Yeah, and we'll eat pickles.
Yeah. Hey, did you know if you stick Cheetos in water, it'll become cheese-flavored water?
No.
Try it. It's amazing. It'll blow your mind.
What you really need to do is talk to Sunny D and see if they make a pickle-flavored Sunny D.
Yeah.
Did you know if you stand too close to Michael for a long period of time, you become stupid?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I kind of figured that one out when he came down and visited me.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. He came back an entirely different person.
Yeah.
Didn't even recognize him.
I know, right?
And then he started to talk.
You're like, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah, that's the ticket, yeah.
I remember that guy.
Ah! Did you see the picture of Michael with the pickle barrel?
No.
You know what? He doesn't have MySpace.
But it's on Facebook.
He doesn't have
Facebook. Well, why don't you fucking email it to him?
I need to email you my picture. I'm sure.
Seriously, what kind of an American does not have a MySpace page? It takes 5 minutes.
It's 5 minutes to start it, but it takes hours to maintain, and I'm just...
Not really.
What are you going to do at work all day, you know?
Yeah.
Work?
Oh, yeah.
Seriously.
That's so funny.
You could at least Twitter.
Yeah.
Twitter.
Yeah. Twitter is a thing where basically it's like a real time of everything you're doing. Like, I'm taking a shit.
I'm going to the store. I'm buying eggs. Aren't you proud of me?
Yeah, like you can literally just constantly streamly update it. Like, ridiculous.
Yes.
You know who likes the Twitter?
The Twitter?
Me.
No.
Gandhi. His Twitter will be like, and I'm still not eating.
My Twitter would be like, I'm currently in the store buying a jar of dill pickles. Fuck Mike, I'm not getting sweets.
And then mine would be like, I'm actually behind Jay. He's so big he doesn't see me. And I have sweets.
Why are you going to throw the fat joke out? That's not
why,
right.
Why are you going to not get sweets, huh?
That's not right.
That's not right either. You know? Huh? Let's not bring in animosity now, okay?
Yeah, let's not. Well, Mike, thank you for calling in.
No problem.
And keep listening to your friends.
Alrighty.
The three that you have. One of them I know. He's right here.
Yeah.
You don't need to tell him to listen.
I don't.
I don't like to listen to it either, but I'm stuck.
Like, you know, I got here, I'm like, good fucking riddance.
Just can't wait to get out the door.
That's right. All right, man. Well, thank you for calling in.
All right, thanks.
See you, Mike.
Quatrain, a ballad, an ode, with meter and rhythm and rhyme. I wanted to speak of your virtue, sing praise to your stature and poise. I wanted to capture your beauty, the soul that's alive in your voice. I wanted to tell of your wisdom, how the courage within your heart soars. But all I can think of is how I be loving them big, big, big titties of yours. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, how my heart sings. Oh, hallelujah. bounce like a kid on a trampoline. They swing like a 40s jazz band. They stand up like a rock solid alibi. They don't even fit in my hand. They curve like a pitch in the big leagues. They burn with a passion so hot. And that is the reason I can't wait to squeeze on them big, big, big titties you've got. They swell like a wave in the sea. No matter what part of the room that I'm in, they're always looking at me. They're soft like the cheek of a baby. They're sweet like the honey of bees. I'll never ignore them. I'll even adore them someday when they're touching your knees. Oh,
Comedy Show. Give it up for Michael for calling in.
Yay!
Hey, remember you guys can call in to every week. We do it Sunday nights from 10 p.m. to 11 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. The number to call, 702-979-9606. You can actually, get that number from the website, rockincomedyshow.com. You can go to iTunes to download the show. Now, I did learn something. We were talking about here on the show that iTunes was only playing the first hour, but if you don't touch the counter, it'll actually play the whole show. So just let it go, let it do its thing, and you can hear the whole thing. And you can visit us on MySpace. It's myspace.com/crazyj13. You'll see that it has been changed to the Rock and Comedy MySpace. So it's got some video clips up there. Also, Facebook and Twitter. Stuff
and
like that.
Rockincomedyshow.com.
And rockincomedyshow.com, which I already talked about, but you were getting ready for your how-to and you missed it.
Yep.
Also want to thank Jay White for being here. Yay!
Was Sharon Daggett here? Should I clap for her? Yay! For her, too. She was here. I don't remember. But yeah, that was great fun. He was quite... I learned a lot about the Flintstones. I didn't even know.
Yeah, well, again, it's one of those shows where you hear, it's the Neil Diamond guy. We didn't talk about the Flintstones.
Who? What?
Are you ready? Are you ready
Sharon
for this?
Sharon Stone was here?
What?
No.
Let's do this.
I concur. Yeah. All right, well, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls,
You've got options. You've got something slimy and sexual, or downright disgusting.
I'm all for downright disgusting.
It is downright disgusting.
Well, let's do it. It can't be any worse than the poop tube.
Have you ever been out on a hot summer's day?
Why, yes, I have.
Sipping on some lemonade?
Yes.
Walking around with your BB gun in your hand?
All the time.
And then, bam! Take that, you rabbit!
Is this what I think? Oh, this is gross. Oh, I know which one this is.
So, to all you Elmer Fudds out there, this will show you how to correctly field dress your dead rabbit. Understand that supermarket meat is well tested and ready for human consumption. The same is not true of meat from the animals you kill. On the contrary, they can often, and do often, carry diseases and parasites, so watch out. Getting a clean shot with the BB gun is the most important step of any field dressing. With a messy kill, internal organs can mix together. Hair and parasites can enter the carcass. And depending on your weapon, you may not have much of a rabbit left to eat. I prefer bludgeoning to the skull. But those little rascals, they're hard to catch. So sometimes, a BB is your only option. Now remember, depending on the BB gun, your range may differ, so take a couple practice shots first at your little brother. Understand the dangers of gutting a rabbit incorrectly. Bloodborne diseases and parasites, along with spoiled food, are some of the dangers of not field dressing or gutting correctly. Some of these dangers include those crazy, nasty warbles, a type of common parasite found in most wild animals. Warbles live under the skin, but outside of the meat, and are planted by bot flies. They can infect humans, cattle, sheep, and squirrels. Warbles on game are not harmful to humans. The only way to contract this parasite is with contact to an adult bot fly. Rabbits, etc., with warbles are completely edible and should not be discarded. Tularemia, or also known as rabbit fever, is decreasingly but serious disease carried through the blood and the air that attacks the internal organs. Humans are often infected by a tick bite or through handling an infected animal, such as your dead rabbit. Ingesting infected water, soil, or food can also cause infection. Tularemia can be acquired by inhalation. Hunters are at higher risk for this disease because of the potential of inhaling the bacteria during the skinning process. Always carefully inspect the liver of your rabbit for white, yellow, or any other spotting which can indicate tularemia. If you even suspect you see spots, discard the carcass right away.
What's with the voice?
I'm sorry, Jay. I don't understand what you're talking about. Let's move on to field dressing your rabbit. Always field dress your rabbit immediately to greatly reduce your risks.
Of what?
Keep everything clean. Do not use dirty water. Because, again, we're trying to decrease things such as infection or spoiling of the meat. Don't spoil your meat, Jay. Keep the carcass away from mud, dirt, twigs, leaves, or other contaminants. As we all know, twigs are not tasty. Use a clean stick to hold the carcass open. Use a clean knife. Wear thick latex or thick rubber gloves, like the kind you use to massage your grandmother. Remove the head.
What?
Remove the head.
No. The step before that about massaging your grandmother.
Right.
What did you say?
Wear thick latex or thick rubber gloves. the same you would use if you were to massage your grandmother.
Oh, got it.
Mm-hmm. Of course, Jay. Doesn't everybody do that?
No.
I keep a pair with me at all times. Remove the head and feet of your rabbit, cutting at the ankles.
Is there a certain way you cut it? Maybe at an angle?
I would recommend using something serrated and possibly sharp.
But should you cut it at an angle?
If you chose to. Just make sure that you stay clear of any internal organs. Holding back the skin of the rabbit with your fingers, make a cut through the skin and over the back, but not into the meat. That's the delicious part, folks. We're trying to save that for later. Peel back the skin of the rabbit, or hide, in both directions with your fingers. Now, it might get a little dirty. That's where those gloves come in handy. Take care not to let the fur or hide
the ones that you massage your grandma with.
Correct. You might want to wash them first. Remove the complete skin of the animal, including the tail. We won't need it today, folks. Remove the complete entrails of the rabbit using one of these methods. Remove the entrails by hand. You cut open the abdomen, reach inside, and remove all the internal organs. You could use those later to make a stew. Remove the entrails by squeezing. Now, this is a much more unique, but entertaining method. Apply pressure to the bottom of the ribcage while moving your hand down the rabbit's anus. Anus. Repeat this process until you can feel the entrails loosen through the anus.
Say it one more time.
Be careful not to burst the bowels or the intestine. Doing so will spoil your meat in the anus. Spread your legs. Why? And hold the rabbit by the front legs and anus. With the rabbit facing you, flip the rabbit down with moderate pressure. Don't flip the carcass around too hard, just like your mom always says. Or you might be wearing a hat of rabbit entrails. The entrails will exit the rabbit through the anus. Let the body hang and cool down for a little while. You can also wash it. The carcass should be maintained at a temperature not exceeding 4 degrees Celsius. That's 39 degrees Fahrenheit for all you losers. Cover the carcass and hide in salt. A pound should do.
How about a tablespoon?
Might be necessary to cut your meat later. Ah, this is a very important tip. This is actually a warning. One, it is illegal to hunt rabbit out of season. Check your local laws and make sure you only hunt in season. And also, do not allow your dog to eat the entrails.
Rabbit season! Duck season! Rabbit season! Duck season!
It could poison your dog. Thank you, folks, and I hope you've learned well. And we'll see you next time on Mike's How To.
Oh my God, you're so stupid. So stupid. Ridiculous.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
So there's a comment here on Facebook from Laura that called in earlier.
Oh yeah.
Just got done calling in to my old friend's rockin' comedy show. Nice talking with you, Jay and Mad Mike.
Oh,
next
you.
Time I'll be better prepared. No, you won't. I could write this entire show out, and it's going to be completely different.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no way that you're going to be prepared.
It never goes the way, you know, it's kind of like...
And it was funny, because she told me she was going to call, and she goes, I'm going to watch video clips and listen to the show a little bit, so I can get an idea of what's going on. You can study the show in and
all
out.
You want. Yeah. All you want. All you're going to get is that a Big Mac can talk, okay?
Yep, and that you like pickles.
And that I like pickles. And... Fuck off, Bobby Slayton. That's about all you're going to get from the videos and how to be a ninja.
With household items that you steal from your neighbor.
That you borrow from your neighbor. Don't even steal them, which would make sense.
Yeah, I'm going to be a ninja.
Yeah.
Can I use that broom?
Yeah. Who do you? Yeah. Hey, can I? What do you got that I can just borrow for a second? I'll bring it back later. I just need. I'm just. You know, it's ninja skill training day. What the hell? What the hell?
This just in: we are returning to the 25th annual snail race.
This is Hans.
I'm Franz.
They have finished lining up at the gate.
We weren't German when we started the bit. You can't fuck it up now.
No, it was... I had change. No. That was Earl. He's sick.
Don't do that.
He is sick from squirrel.
No, don't do that.
He ate one. It was very, very poisonous. He did not know about the warbles. He should have read how to. So Hans and Franz here reporting today. The snail, they are ready to go. They are at the start line right now. It appears.
My question is, why the fuck am I here? We can't do that. It's just ridiculous.
What do you think about the starting lineup? We have Terry the snail in the front row. Followed in second row, we have Vinny Tusa.
Stop! Stop!
And it has begun. Right now, Vinny Tusa, he has jumped out to an incredible 1 millimeter lead. That is incredible by snail standard. He's being black flagged. He has shown chunk out of shell. He is too aerodynamic.
Apparently they're faulting him for cheating. It looks like he's riding on top of a roly-poly.
That was very big back in the 70s.
Was it?
Yeah. But after the great roly-poly ban in 1976.
Oh, yes, I forgot about the roly-poly ban.
Yes.
The great roly-poly ban.
Da.
Yeah, I got it.
And here we are, folks. It's a nice day in Norfolk, Germany. It is a balmy 72 degrees, which is almost freezing for a snail. Which make a good escargot after it.
And there's the gun. And they're off. Look at the speed these snails have.
They're making good time through the charts. They're reaching turn one in about 5 minutes.
We'll check back and see how they're doing. We will get around that first turn.
We will see. Oh, there appears to be injuries.
Hey, we got about 40 listeners out there in France, according to our website.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to change that around real quick.
Yeah. Well, we'll get back to Hans and Franz in a minute.
Well,
thanks very much.
There's
no problem.
We got about...
Get back to us later. We got about five minutes
before we check back in with the snail race.
Yeah. They'll reach turn one.
But that will give us enough time to play this song by Weird Al Yankovic called Genius in France.
Oh, nice. Nice.
The brightest crayon in the box. Everyone says I'm dumber than a bag of rocks. I barely even know how to put on my own pants, but I'm a genius in France.
Yeah.
Genius in France. Genius in France. I may not be the sharpest hunk of cheese. I got a negative number on my SAT. I'm not good looking, and I don't know how to dance. But now I'm a little bit inspired of the evidence I have, so why do you consider to be a genius in France, genius in France, genius in France? Say I'm a geek, a moronic little freak, an annoying pipsqueak with an unfortunate physique. If I was any dumber, they'd have to water me twice a week. But when the mademoiselles see me, they all spoon and shriek. They take my mystique, they think I'm Saint Magnifique. When I'm in Paris,
I'm the chic.
Vegas Tampa Chic.
They love my body odor and my bad toupee. They love my stripy shirts and my stupid beret.
And when I'm sipping on a Perrier in some cafe down in Central Bay, it's hard to keep the band back bay.
They say, sign my poodle, see who play. Sign my poodle, see who play. Poodle, poodle. Short of a casserole, a few buttons missing on my remote control, a few fries short of a heavy meal. I couldn't pour water out of a boot with instructions on the heel. Instructions on the heel. Instructions on the heel. But when I'm in her bones, I get three croissants. Yeah, I'm the guy every French lady wants. And if you ask them why, you're bound to get this response.
The genius in France, genius in France.
That's right.
The genius in France, genius in France.
You know it.
The genius in France, genius in France, genius in France.
I'm not the brightest bulb on the Christmas tree. The folks in France, they don't seem to agree. They say, bonjour, monsieur. Would you take the picture with me? I say, oui, oui.
That's right.
I say, oui, oui.
Oui, oui. He says, oui, oui.
A dumber than a box of hair. A fine red
wall.
I got the je ne sais quoi. Like a fine red wall.
Ooh la la.
I got the je ne sais
quoi.
I'm a taco short of a combo place, but by some twist of fate, all the frogs think I'm great. Oh, the men all faint, and the women scream. They like me more than heavy cream. When I'm in Versailles, I'm a popular guy. My oh my, I'm as French as apple pie.
Apple pie!
They think I'm awfully witty, a riot and a half. When I tell a stupid joke, they laugh. And laugh. People in France have lots of attitude. They're snotty and rude, they like disgusting food. But when they see me, they just come unglued. They think that I don't want to have any news. Bow, 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 bow. I'm about as sharp as a bowling ball. But they like me better than Charles de Gaulle. Entre nous, it's very true. The room temperature's higher than my IQ. They love me more than Gerard Depardieu. How did this happen? I don't have a clue. I'm not the quickest tractor on the farm. I don't have any skills or grace or charm. And most people look at me like I'm all covered with ants.
But I'm a genius in France. Genius in France. Genius in France. And I'm never going back. I'm never going back. I'm never, 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 never going back home again. I'm tearing up my return flight ticket. Gonna tell the folks back home where they can't stick it. 'Cause I'm never going.
home never gave me a chance. But I sure enough got them frogs in some kind of trance. And I'm aware that it's the most improbable circumstance. But great Googly Moogly, I'm a genius in France. Every Frenchie that I meet just can't wait to kiss my feet. Get in line, fuck her up, too sweet. I'm getting even more famous by the hour. I'm stuffed with pastries and drunk with power. Now they're putting up a statue by the Eiffel Tower. A little more to the left, boys. A little more to the left. A little more to the left, boys. A little more to the left. Biggest dork there is alive. My mom picked out my clothes for me till I was 35.
And I forgot to mention, I'm not even welcome at the Star Trek convention.
But the Frenchies think that my poop don't stink. I'm a genius in France.
Would you pass the Grey Poupon? Merci beaucoup.
Hey everybody, Jamie Lee Curtis here for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. What should you do to stop a friend from driving if they've been drinking? Answer, whatever it takes. Think before you drink. Designate before you celebrate. Choose a designated driver. Remember, friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Well, you are listening to the Rockin' Comedy Show. I am your host, Crazy Jay. Remember, you can find us online several different ways. The official website, rockincomedyshow.com, myspace.com/crazyj13. In there, you'll find Don't Tase Me, Bro, which is Junk McGee as well, on Facebook. It is the Rockin' Comedy Show. You can email us. It's crazyj@comic.com. If you want to contact Mike, it's ihurtmyspleen@yahoo.com. But right now, a song going out to Matt Mike for his little how-to on how to clean a rabbit. Here's the Four Postmen.
Somebody came up to me and said, Postman, you're going to go to the trouble of opening up your mouth to sing. You might as well have something to sing about. I said, put on some pants!
There's a valley where the rabbits live. It's called Rabbit Valley. But you can't go there unless you're a rabbit. Then you can go there, but you're not a rabbit. So you can't go there.
Those are the vows
back to Rabbit Valley, but I'm not wearing no stupid rabbit suit either.
I'm going back as a human being.
I'm going back as a human being with dignity and pride.
I'm going back as a man.
I'm going back as a postman.
I'm going back as a postman who just so happens to be a human being.
I'm going back as a postman who just so happens to be a human being who just so happens to be carrying a big gun in his hand. Hey!
You listen to the Rock and Comedy Show. I'll be more prepared next time.
No, you won't.
No, you won't. It's time for the news.
Oh, the not in the news news.
Not in the news news.
Not the not in the news news.
Right.
News.
Not in the news news. Are you ready? It's my time now, bitch.
I'm just backing off, folks. I got my Sunny D.
Here we go.
Hello, Americans. This is Paul Harvey. Stand by for news.
He's always here. The guy just he comes in, does this one thing, and then leaves.
Yep. A man was arrested after ringing residence doorbell.
Bing bong! Hello!
Well, he was naked.
Naked!
Yep.
Just turn around.
I thought I was trying to avoid it, but thank you for pointing it out.
There's some serious dog mess on this couch.
Anyway, a man was arrested after ringing residence
Bing
doorbell.
Bing bong! Hello!
Well, he was naked.
Naked!
And then he led deputies on a chase in a pickup truck.
See, you guys, you never listen to me. I said that there was going to be trouble, but you didn't listen to me. You guys are crazy. You know, you guys are self-destructive. There's a funny farm that has your name written all over it.
Two residents in an unincorporated Redwood City reported around 3 a.m. that a
naked
man was ringing their doorbells. A deputy who responded to the call spotted a blue Dodge pickup truck driving away from the area.
It was a night out they were going to remember for a very long time.
The deputy attempted to stop the truck, but the driver refused to yield.
I tell you, gentlemen, we have a problem on our hands.
Deputies pursued the man as he drove recklessly for nearly 7 miles before stopping the truck on the Sand Hill Road on-ramp to northbound Interstate Highway 280. He then exited the car and ran, entering an occupied house by kicking in a door.
You know, we have to work on your people skills.
The man then left the house and tried to hide behind nearby trees and shrubs. Deputies attempted to subdue him with an electronic control device, but were unsuccessful.
Would anyone like to join me in a toast of failure?
Deputies then shot 2 beanbags at the man and were finally able to take him into custody.
People who do that should be arrested.
I love those beanbags because those sons of bitches drop. That's even better than being electrocuted with a little taser gun.
Yep.
They just knock you down. I think it was in the Jackass movie where they got him good. They shot him with the beanbag. They take him down.
Yeah, he told me. He was like, I didn't like that.
He was transported to Stanford Hospital for an evaluation and was then booked into San Mateo County Jail. The man was identified as 38-year-old Peter Allen Steele. He was arrested on suspicion of driving under the influence, evading a peace officer, driving with a suspended license, indecent exposure, entering a house without permission, vandalism, and resisting arrest. If you can believe
that. I am totally innocent of any wrongdoing.
You know, if that was Port St. Lucie, I'm telling you right now, it would have just been a felon.
Yeah, totally. After all of that, oh yeah.
Yeah, it's just a felony.
He could have just been walking around naked at the felony there.
Yeah.
Charging $9 Abbotsford for a $5
police.
Sandwich should be a felony there.
Abbotsford police didn't have to go far to nab a drunk driver. The bizarre incident began when 22-year-old man driving a black truck and his 21-year-old female passenger pulled up to the police station and promptly parked in the stalls marked For police vehicles only.
Duh!
Smart guy.
Commander Ian McDonald said the pair were at the police station to get the woman's driver's license that had been seized by police when she had received a 24-hour suspension for impaired driving. It quickly became clear to employees at the front counter that the woman had been drinking. Police officers then took a look at the truck that was improperly parked and discovered both empty and full cans of beer inside the truck.
You seem like a regular dumb shit old redneck to me.
Good on whoever was working in the station that day. They go running out there to determine what's going on, and sure enough, their suspicion that maybe she wasn't the only person drinking was proved to be accurate. Yeah.
You know, there are people in this world that don't have to put up with all this shit.
They detail the fact that they'd come to the end of their weekend and were in celebratory mode. They just admit it to the police. Hey, back off! It's the weekend! Fuck you! We're having a good time. They weren't hiding the fact, and that might be not be the best time to go and retrieve your driver's license. The male driver then failed a sobriety test. The pickup was towed, and his license was seized by police. Now, either one of them don't have a license. Then it was his turn to receive a 24-hour driving suspension from driving. That's pretty good.
If you can't do something right, don't do it at all.
Yeah. Dang. The Abbotsford police are preparing for the couple's next visit, this time to collect the man's license, said McDonald in a press release. And they said, quote unquote, "We are hopeful that they will arrive by taxi."
Now, don't you bet your life on it.
Seriously.
Love this story.
It's getting better, folks.
It is getting better. Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, a man has been hospitalized after setting his car on fire in a motel parking lot.
No one's a bigger idiot than me.
Michael R. Brandt. Ask me how he did it.
How do you do it?
Well, he suffered burns and totaled his car after lighting a cigarette while inside the vehicle with a full propane tank sat in the passenger seat.
Son, you don't have bad luck. The reason that bad things happen to you is because you're a dumbass.
Yeah. Witnesses at the Cedar Motel pulled Brandt, 41, from his burning 1992 car at about 2:24 in the afternoon. Coeur d'Alene firefighters extinguished the blaze, and Brandt was transported to Kanatui Medical Center emergency room, where he is still being cared for.
I can't even believe that.
Oh, if you can't believe that, you're going to have a real, real hard time believing this story. An intoxicated 48-year-old man turned up at his local hospital complaining of excruciating stomach pain.
I think I shall now be sick.
Oh my gosh.
Worried doctors in Orlia, southern Romania, carried out scans and were knocked sideways to find he had not one, but two hammerheads stuck in his ass.
If I was making a list of the great assholes of the 20th century, you'd be in the top five.
And not the sharks, people.
Hospital spokesman Dr. Christina Bansau said he was a bit drunk, and he said he had been eating cherries all day, and that had left him a little constipated.
Everybody and every creature has to poop sometime.
He said he had a few drinks to dull the pain, and then came up with the idea of poking a hammerhead up in his backside in hopes of sorting out the constipation.
You have no idea how bad it gets.
I guess not.
But the hammerhead got stuck, and then he came up with the idea of using a second hammerhead in order to try and get out the first. But then he lost the second one as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
He obviously wasn't as constipated as he thought. Yeah. There is still some room up in there to be had.
He needed a poop tube.
Oh, yeah.
That's what he needed.
He needed a poop tube. Had he only listened to the show.
In Cedar Rapids, Iowa, a man who police say was caught with 2 pounds of marijuana told officers the drugs weren't his because he stole it.
Rumor has it you're a genius.
Bradley Robinson, 18, of Cedar Rapids, was charged with possession of marijuana with intent to deliver and failure to affix a drug tax stamp.
People who do that should be arrested.
He was. When police found him, the marijuana, he said he had stolen it from a nearby business that he had just broken into.
Oh, my God.
Linn County Attorney Harold Denton said, it doesn't matter how Robinson got the marijuana, only that he had it. That's right.
No, sir, it's no mistake. Marijuana.
If you steal it, you steal it, and you possess it, Denton said. It's a double whammy. Robinson was caught by officers after they saw him running from the area. A burglary charge was being considered, but had not been immediately filed. The investigation also led to possession with the intent to deliver charges being filed against Ruben Ravis, 36, for allegedly having the marijuana at the business that Robinson broke into.
So, do I still have to go to jail?
Yes, both men were taken to jail, but later released.
Wow.
Hammerhead.
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 Not the shark.
Not the shark.
Of course, that would have been funny, too.
Doctor, I have these sharks in my ass, two of them. I was constipated. I thought they'd clean me out.
Eat right out of me. They like cherries, right?
You know, here on the news, that we love the wacky stories, and I've got two here, but the last one is the kicker of the week, I gotta tell you. For Steve Miller, a trip downtown is living hell that makes him sick, dizzy, and confused.
Everyone's entitled to a little confusion in their lives. I practically thrive on it.
Well, bars make him feel the same, and he can't use trains, airports, or hotels without experiencing head-banging agony. But Miller doesn't suffer from strange phobia. He's allergic to Wi-Fi.
Are you on crystal meth or something? Because this is really cracky behavior.
And unfortunately for him and the other 2% of the population with electromagnetic hypersensitivity, the number of people pumping out the wireless internet signals is on the rise. I feel like an exile on my own planet, Miller said. It's almost impossible to find somewhere without Wi-Fi nowadays. If I fancy a pint, I have to travel 3 miles to the only pub in my area that doesn't have Wi-Fi. Being extra sensitive to this electrosmog, as it's called, has made moving around a nightmare for Miller, as stray signals from neighboring buildings could make him very ill. It has also costed the top British DJ thousands of dollars in lost income. He's missed out on loads of European DJ gigs as he can't find accommodations without Wi-Fi, he said. Most hotels have it, as have all airports. I can't even catch a train because they have it. Miller now carries a Wi-Fi detector with him wherever he goes so he can avoid these problems.
Oh, drat these computers. They're so naughty and so complex. I could pinch them.
All right, Mike.
All right.
This is it.
All right, let's hear it.
This is the kicker.
Lay it on me, brother. Drop some knowledge.
A man plotted to kill his adoptive parents with the help of a friend he met on the internet.
I won't ask.
You shouldn't.
Christopher Monk, 24, wanted Sean Sarkins to murder his parents, Christopher and Elizabeth Monks, while they slept, and then perform an extreme sex act on him. That's right.
On the dad.
No. On the other boy.
Oh.
On the other boy.
Oh, my God, there's an orgy in my mouth.
The bisexual pair are alleged to have hatched the plot after meeting on an internet site about furries. We've talked about furries before.
Definitely people wear that. Animal.
This is the website where people who pretend to be animal characters and share
a real rabbit
sexual
follow my how-to.
Right, well, I got an Easter Bunny costume in there, buddy. Yeah. Anyway, they dress up like animal characters and share sexual role-playing fantasies. You know.
Now that's reasonable, isn't it?
Yeah. Gardens, 19, visited Monk's family home in Preston Road in February after weeks of chatting to him online. The two played computer games before Scarns left, telling Mr. and Mrs. Monks he was getting the train home. Monks then watched a DVD with his parents while Scarns waited for hours in a park nearby until they received a text from his friend, telling him the couple were asleep in the four-bedroom house that they shared with their son. Mr. Monk woke in the early hours of the morning to find Scarns beside his bed, clutching a kitchen knife.
I think we've proven who the psycho is.
Wasn't what gave
wow.
it away. He grappled with the intruder and yelled for help.
Help! Help!
From his wife, who was sleeping downstairs. The dad of three, Mr. Monks, told the court, I thought he was trying to kill me. My wife tried to hit him with a stick, but it broke. She then began to talk to him in a calming way. At this point, his manner changed completely. The couple went downstairs to find a police officer on the doorstep who had responded to Mrs. Monk's 911 call.
911!
Wow.
He told the jury, well, let me see. Mr. Monk was left with his bruised arms and cut palm and bite marks. Monk, who was downstairs during the attack, was initially treated as a witness, but then later arrested. Prosecutor Dennis Watson told the court that while Scarns carried out the attack, ex-Runshaw College student Monk stayed downstairs deleting incriminating text messages.
Ain't I something?
Yeah, he's trying to get rid of the evidence right there. Mr. Watson said Monks had talked about his sexual desire for his penis to be bitten off in online chat room discussions. He told the jury, it may seem extreme that he wanted to have his penis bitten off, but there is an ample evidence from websites he visited and conversations with Sean Scarns that was a deeply held interest and one he found sexually stimulating.
This is the best thing I have ever put in my mouth.
It seems that Scarns was
There's a website for this.
Yeah.
He went to, like, penisbiteoff.com.
I don't know where he went, but it seems that Scarns was to receive no money for killing Mr. and Mrs. Monks, but the prospects of biting off Monk's penis, this was the climactic act of conspiracy.
Do you think I'm queer? Don't matter what I think.
Elizabeth Monks told the court that her adopted son was a quiet boy who never lost his temper and did well at his temping job at an educational training center where she also worked. Her husband added, "We have no doubt that Christopher did not intend to go into this extreme. There is no one in our closest circle of friends who is not shocked as to what happened."
It's wrong, shockingly wrong.
Scarns of Sutton Way and Monks both deny conspiracy to murder Mr. and Mrs. Monks. Proceedings will be happening soon.
Wow.
I want you to kill my parents and then you can bite off my dick. That sounds great.
Yeah, sounds like a deal.
Hey, sounds like a plan. A great Friday night.
When are we going to pop this baby off?
When's this going to happen? I'm really looking forward to it. Well, you got to wear a pink elephant suit. Whatever it takes, I'll do it.
It's a little weird. That's a little strange. It's a little weird. Kind of creeps me out a little bit. But yeah, everything else I'm cool with.
Yeah, kill the parents. Just don't bite off my dick.
Yeah, right?
And that's the news.
Very, very fucking weird.
That was a good batch of news. And now back to the 25th annual snail race.
And just 1 minute to go. You're almost me. You're almost there. Has been a slow speed collision.
The shell on the left side of Turtle. His name is Turtle.
Turtle the snail. He has been running over Vanessa the snail for the last 57 seconds.
There is a dent in his shell on the left-hand side from the slow collision.
He's currently getting pissed.
He might be out of the race.
He's getting pissed. Let's listen in. And he's off.
Again.
Very slowly. Very slowly.
Oh no, look, snail number 3 is out. He has hit the salt line. He is dissolving and making a mess.
He has hit the salt line maybe 20 seconds ago. It is just now taking effect.
They're bringing out the cleaning crew and a hose.
Tell me, Franz, who do you think is going to win today's race?
I don't have a fucking clue.
I mean this week's race.
Maybe this month's race. I'm not quite sure what's going on. Yeah.
I just... Wait, what's that? We had just heard that the Terry the snail has just taken a half round out and has changed his slug pressure to get the better handling in the turn.
Slug pressure.
He's going for better handling in the turn. He was a little loose going in and free off coming out of turn 4.
Turn 4? Wow, he's really ahead because all the other ones are just now coming into turn 2.
It's the crack. He went right to the crack. Which is good. We talk about the crack line that they keep in the middle of the track. You see, and this was brought about after the great mustache incident of 1986.
That was your accident.
Nah. Yeah, see, because at then, we use as a cook, but I chop him up, and I snort
him. Yeah, you explained that earlier. Yeah, we remember.
Very tragic. I keep a memorial of great.
Donatello.
I still have a piece of shell stuck in nostril.
So it's Donatello, you're saying?
Donatello. Pila's
Oh, my God, ladies and gentlemen, it looks like the race could be coming to an end as another snail is wiped out on the salt line.
Another one on the salt line. Now, you see, we had talked about these earlier, the snail pressure. What's happening is they get tight into the turn, and they cannot hold it to the line. And what's happening is they slide up loose on track. They spin out at a very slow speed.
Right.
It takes a couple minutes for them to complete the rotation, but they wind up right in the salt line. Very tragic. It's very tragic. He was a good snail. I knew him. He will be delicious. And we have winners, folks.
Is it true at the start of the race that they do call out 1-2 escargot?
And this is to strike fear into heart of snail. You see, it makes them strive faster.
Because they say escargot.
No one wants to be the eaten.
The eaten.
You know. Da.
Stupid.
Da.
Oh, God.
We have winner.
I need a vacation.
We have a winner.
I think I'll take one.
Who is the winner? It is there is snail. Good job.
There is snail. There's 7 of them on the ground.
And we have one winner.
One winner.
Very good. We have a winner. Let's go down. Let's go have a talk with him down in the winner circle.
No, let's not.
Prompt. Go ahead. Let's end it. You can interview. I stay quiet. You interview.
Let's end it. No, we're ending it.
I'm so glad to have won. I don't regret to go back to my slow pace of my life.
We don't need to interview him.
I miss my leaf. I'd like to thank my family. Help and my trainer for not hitting me.
There's a comment on my Facebook from Annie Banani.
What does it say?
Do you ever work anymore?
Not if we don't have to.
All the time. She's the one that's been out of the country for 2 weeks.
Yeah,
where's she been?
Yeah, freaking Annie Banani, she's a weirdo. She's a weirdo. Out of town. You know where she went?
Yeah.
Norfolk.
Yeah.
To the snail race.
To the snail race.
She was there. Hans saw her. Isn't that right, Hans? Nah. She was there. Yeah.
Well, there you go. Thank you, Hans.
That's going to do it. We're out of here.
Peace out. We love you. Fuck off.
And we're taking a week off. Seriously, we're taking a week off.
Yeah, you're going out of town, right?
Right.
I agree.
Yeah, I'm glad you agree. Maybe I'll get Bobby Satan to come in here and fill in for me, and then you and him can do the show.
No. Let's not do that.
Yeah. Come on, that could be fun.
And that'll be a horrible show.
I think it would be fun.
No. It would be me acting like Bobby as Bobby does Bobby.
All right, so we'll see you guys in 2 weeks.
All right.
And when we come back, we got some more guests lined up, and it's going to be fun.
Take care.
The dysfunctional family reunion. They played games in the shade by a stream. As usual, players were chosen by levels of self-esteem. They played pin the tail on the problem with blindfolds already in place. But nobody had any boundaries, so they wandered all over the place. A DJ was hired to play records, but they didn't dance very well. A few of them didn't know the two-step, but more were familiar with 12. The dysfunctional family reunion. Nobody had a good time, but they kept it all hidden, pretended they did. As usual, everything's fine. But they kept it